Hey everyone, this is Eric Bell. Welcome to a new episode of For Whom the Bell Tolls. I am your host, Eric Bell. I pretty much already mentioned that. But, yeah, we're in for an interesting episode of my friends at ZenTheCar.com/ZenTheCarTV, you local activists, bloggers. And, yeah, it's should be pretty fun. They're very deep guys. I've got a few things, a list of things I want to talk about, but I know that I might not get to hardly any of them, because, but yeah, let's go ahead and get them on. Hey guys, can you hear me? Are you on? Hello?
Hello?
Marco? What's up, Jason?
No, it's Larry.
This is who?
Larry.
Hi, Larry.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
To listen in. I don't think I've ever heard y'all before.
Well,
y'all
this is
new?
Like my third show. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Well, yeah.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. And
what
still trying
do
to figure
you talk
out...
about?
Well, let's say, well, I am a voluntarist. I like to bring on guests which are more philosophy. I do talk about politics, but I also like to bring in.
What? I should just know that my number is 4783975137.
It's fucking
so random.
3975137.
Hello.
Hello.
Eric,
how you doing?
Is
I think,
this you?
Yes, I believe that is Jason. I hear.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, it's Jason Patrick. ZenTheCar.com. How you doing, brother?
How's it going, my friend? Yes, I'm
it's
joined on the
good.
Line from. It's going good. I think, is that Daniel or Jeff Crumpton out here also?
I don't know if he's on the, Daniel Crumpton, I'm not sure that he's on the line yet. I think I know they're all calling in. Curtis's boots on the ground, so I'm not sure if he'll make it, but Daniel's supposed to be calling in, and Sabrina should be calling in later on, too. She's got kids at a soccer game.
Right. Okay, but anyway, I was just being joined by Larry, who's just calling in, but I actually got him joined in, and say hi to Jason, Larry.
Howdy.
Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Yeah, I was telling what these
asked. I'm not sure right now. I'm trying to figure out something on my route. I made a wrong turn, I think, but I'll be all right. As long as I'm going
yeah,
north, I'm okay.
How'd you hear about the show?
Just my first time listening to y'all, so ask me that
all right,
later.
Good deal.
There's ice five. Okay.
Well, let me introduce you to Eric Bell. Eric Bell is a friend of mine. I met through the Ron Paul campaign, and he was part of the Georgia delegation that went to the state convention, which was pretty contentious. And you can see links from that at BenSwan.com. Ben Swan is I don't know. Are you familiar with Ben Swan?
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, well, if you go to BenSwan.com and you put in Georgia State Convention, you're going to see Eric Bell in action. He put up one of the most principled, a motion, Eric? You made a motion, he made an amendment
NDA.
To a resolution, the most principled thing I've ever seen ever. And he's just a hero, and he stepped out from that and started this radio show. Eric, man, I can't tell you. Here at Zen in the Car, we couldn't be more proud of what you do. I love watching that video. I've watched it a few times since you started the show. And I'm like, that dude was awesome.
Yes. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you. I'll go tell the whole story about what it was. What my amendment was to make it so that the Georgia Republican Party could not endorse any candidate that supported the NDAA. So that would have obviously meant both our senators and all the congressmen, because all the exception of two Democrats in Georgia's voted for the NDAA, and that amendment passed, but then it was withdrawn after Debbie Dooley, who is the chair of the, or I don't know what exactly, but the coordinator of the Atlanta Tea Party Patriots has mentioned, said, well, we can't really do that. So we cannot not be able to not endorse our nominee. So it was tabled shortly afterwards.
Well, the Tea Party has been infiltrated. That is part of the problem there, too. Hey, are you familiar with Walter Jones?
Yes.
Where is he out of? Is he out of?
He's in North Carolina.
Okay, that's what I know that he was from the southeast somewhere. I just couldn't remember if it was Georgia or one of the Carolinas. But he's pretty cool. Y'all need somebody like him in Georgia. Actually, a couple people like him.
We got people like Derek Grayson who's running for U.S. Senate. And if you haven't checked out Derek Grayson, he's the Minister of Truth team on in Georgia. He's running for Zachary Chambliss's old seat. And if you haven't seen him, go check him out. I mean, he's 100% Constitution 100% of the time. We got Catherine Bernard
Is he running for U.S. Senate or state Senate?
Yes.
U.S. Senate.
For U.S. Senate.
Derek
you don't hear
the
much
only,
about him.
The only 100% constitutional candidate in the race.
Okay. That's good to do that.
Yeah,
but
we're losing
focus on something even more important and potent is local elections.
Yeah, Catherine.
Oh, we have good people. We have good people running for. Well, I say a lot of good friends that are running for state representatives in Georgia as well, such as Catherine Bernard.
I was referring more to city. County kind of stuff, but that's good too, though.
I mean, we got active in our city hall. I don't think we got any Liberty candidates running. It's hard. I mean, I've even been to the city hall meetings. I spoke out against the Bearcat here in Warner Robins personally. Got a lot of heat for that. And I mean, getting people activated in that process. What we really need, rather than having people run for those offices, what we really need is an army of folks who are angry enough to show up for these meetings, especially when you got somebody that's leading a charge in that direction. And we went out and got petition signatures. Everybody, I'm telling you what, more than 90%, way more than 90% was against the Bearcat and Warner Robins, but nobody that was against it would turn out to a city hall meeting and make their voice heard. We had a small conglomerate, about 6 to 7 people who were committed to it. But, having people run is one thing, but having a bunch of angry folks go to city hall and say, hey, no more government. We don't want you meddling in this area. There's a whole lot more trying to get one or two people in key positions.
Okay.
Why do they need an armored assault vehicle? I mean, that's insane. And but the reason why I bring this to light, I know it was a question that was rhetorical, but the thing that bothers me is I see a lot of people in various communities, not meeting you right now for this, but they focus on Washington, D.C. while their house is burning down. Good point is Albuquerque, New Mexico. Cops there.
That's what we're getting to the heart of the matter right now.
Yeah. Well, the cops there just got finished killing a homeless man a short time ago. And
how angry does that make you, brother?
If I lived in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say on the radio. Okay. But that happened in my neck of the woods, those cops would need to watch over their shoulder for the rest of their lives.
Well, see, even better than that, what I would say is even better than that, that's a local sheriff's department. So if you get 1,000 people or 2,000 people or even 100 people or 20 that say, hey, we don't like this crap. This crap is ridiculous. There's no reasonable officer that does stupid shit like that. You just pick those people up. You march into the sheriff's office. You say, hey, sheriff, we want to redress the grievances, and we want to know why in the hell you're killing homeless people that are living up in the woods because they got nowhere else to go. And especially when it looked like on the video to us, now they're going to say it's justified, and we're going to say, hey, sheriff, we're here to tell you and we're here to redress grievances. If that's your idea of a reasonable officer, we're calling your whole department into question. And then you come back next week with more people, and say the same thing. You don't got to go kill officers. You just go march into the sheriff's office, your local sheriff's office, with a group of people that agree with you, and you tell them no more.
Well, that's true. Well, I would say he was morally just, but he was...
And they ignore it.
That is true. Well, you know, I would say we don't necessarily have to go gun him down or go look for him, but I will say this, though. If he had more than just a knife to a gunfight to whatever, he was definitely more. It was definitely moral for him to gun down those officers in that situation.
He gun down officers.
Which no
he
one really
talked
about.
The guy was. Hey, wait a minute.
I understand that. Well, he had a knife. What I'm saying though,
the reason why I bring that up
is because
he was unarmed.
I understand.
In his hand.
He did have a knife.
He was empty-handed. Well, the one I'm talking about, there was nothing in the guy's hand.
Oh.
He came down the hill.
Hey, bear with me. Look at the live link. On the live link, you can see on the live link now, the live link has the full uncut version. You can also find it on Alex Jones. And when you see him go step on his hand, he does have a small knife in his hand. He does. I mean, you can't refute the evidence that's right there on the video. The same video that showed him getting killed. But the knife is ridiculous. What I'm saying is, at this point, I agree with you. Who's the caller? What's your name, Mark?
No, I'm Larry.
Larry. All right, Larry. I agree wholeheartedly with you. That video made me angry, really, really angry. And I'm right with you. I'm in New Mexico and take him out. But what I'm saying is, that's one way to do it, but a more effective way to do it in this country at this point in order to change things better in the right direction is you get a bunch of people that say, we do not like that, especially in New Mexico locally, and you march up to the sheriff's office with a group, but you make a Facebook group and you say, hey, listen, we're going to go march up to the sheriff's office and we're going to say, we want to redress the grievances. You have a spokesperson, everyone else stands in solidarity, and you speak with them and say, listen, that's not what reasonable officers in New Mexico do. We expect more from your department, and we're putting you on record. March up there and tell them no more.
You're talking about a different incident. That one's even more recent. The one I'm talking about is a little bit while back, but not that long ago.
This is the 19th.
Okay, this isn't the first time they've done this.
Right.
Okay, I mean, Albuquerque is notorious for this. When I was talking about, the guy had no weapon in his hands.
The one that just happened on the 19th, just got leaked. It's out on LiveLink, Alex Jones. It's like the most pressing story that's out there right now. Just happened.
No, I wasn't talking about that one, but that one's bad too, I guess. They're hiring psychopaths, and the sheriff's one of them. Oh, this is a mistake going down this road. Oh, crap. But anyway, and the problem is, you can talk till you're blue in the face, and you're not going to get anything done.
That's not true. If you take an army of people, you can't be ignored. You can't ignore an idea. If you get an army of people that march in there and tell them, they will listen, but you actually have to do it. You can't talk about it. Now, they listen to guns.
Right.
The problem is, as soon as you bring out the guns, I'm going to tell you what, as soon as you bring out the guns, tyranny gets worse. And I'm a big proponent. I'm just like you, man. We're going to go up to American Spring, and we're going to speak, and we're going to do what we do. And this war can start whenever, you know, somebody's ready to start it. But I'm telling you, tyranny gets worse at that point.
I didn't say to go down to the sheriff's office and start shooting people. Okay?
No.
Yeah.
You're talking about those particular guys or something like that.
No, I said the men that killed that guy would have to look over their shoulders for the rest of their lives. But anyway, that's in my neck of the woods. Because where I live, we all pretty much know each other. Now, fortunately, we wouldn't allow somebody like that to be hired. The minute somebody pulls something even remotely resembling that insanity, they'd be called to the carpet real fast.
Where's that?
And have to get rid of them. I live
Where's your neck of the woods?
I live north of Fort Worth, in between Fort Worth and Decatur. It's in Texas. Okay. And we don't tolerate, at least out in my part of the woods anyway, we don't tolerate, you know, cops going around and being a bunch of thugs. Now, in the towns, they have some minor problems with cops being a little bit too much on a power trip. But even they have to keep themselves in check because the community won't tolerate too much, okay? But if you go down to the sheriff's department, you have to let him know with masks, like you're talking about, a lot of people, you know. But the problem is, when you leave, he's just going to talk bad about you and business as usual.
Right.
You have to vote him out of office. Being that he's a sheriff, he has to be voted out of office, along with the county commissioner and the judge. And that's what I meant
and
about getting involved in local. What?
Yeah, and that's assumed that, you know, you the vote's not rigged either, but. And that's.
Yeah.
Hey, I do think we need to cut through the fact that talking doesn't do anything, though. I mean, that talking, one person talking doesn't do anything.
Washington,
I mean,
D.C. Okay, Washington, D.C. is a prime example of talking not doing any good. Austin, Texas, they still have fluoride in the water. They go before the city council with scientists and doctors. And those the mayor and city council have the audacity to laugh in the face of the scientists. Okay? George Washington and the founders sent petition upon petition to the king. And every time a petition went to the king, the behavior of the English soldiers got worse. The same thing is happening now. Every time we complain, the behavior of police get worse, not better. Okay? Think about
then
that.
Look
at the correlation between the two. There's a parallel.
There is going to be a time when you do have there's a time when you're going to have to use those firearms eventually. I mean, we hope that we can. I mean, I would like to.
Rather it be peaceful. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to have a war. I know what the war will do. Okay.
Oh yeah.
It's not fun. And there are people that are out. Yeah. Let's have and shoot and everything. No, you guys don't understand. When stuff hits the fan, homie. It's going to be bad, all
right?
And the powers that be have hellfire missiles and all sorts of bad things that you really don't want to have coming down your doorstep, okay? I mean, I mean, the peaceful solution would be a gazillion times better, all right?
Oh, yes.
It's possible.
And it only takes people
that's what we're hoping for. That's what we're working for. And and of course we know that the NSA is listening to Homeland Security. We've understand that. I was watching most of these videos. Oh yeah, I was watching most of the videos from Zen the car, which I understand that the Homeland Security has kind of pretty much been on your doorstep or from Jeff's doorstep, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yeah, we picked up NSA when we were talking about the Bearcat.
Okay, 1 second. It looks like I do have some more guests on. I'm going to go ahead and
go for it, man.
See if I can welcome in. Hello, number 404-488. I'm not going to release the last four digits, but hello, who am I speaking to, and welcome to For Whom the Bell Tolls. Oh, never mind. So,
go ahead, Carl.
Hey,
hello.
Sabrina Black.
Sabrina, how you doing?
Doing good.
Sabrina.
How are you guys
doing? Hey, let me introduce Eric. This is Sabrina Black. She's a contributor to ZenInTheCar.com and ZenInTheCarTV. You can also see her coming up on the Naked and Afraid show on the Discovery Channel. You can see her naked butt climbing up a palm tree, I think. Isn't that right, Sabrina?
That's right.
That sounds like a fun story.
he's a local celebrity. He's going to be the local celebrity on the ZenInTheCar.com, ZenInTheCarTV show. But he's got another show, Notoriety, coming up on Naked and Afraid on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk about that.
Why are you climbing up a palm tree? I'm sorry, I have to ask that. Why are you naked climbing up a palm tree?
Watch the show!
I don't have. I'm not at home. I don't do tapes. Sorry.
Go ahead, Sabrina. Tell us about the show.
Basically, went out to the middle of nowhere jungle and stayed out there for 21 days to survive off the land. And we had no clothes while we did it. And if you're wondering why I climbed a palm tree, it's because I wanted what was at the top of it.
Yeah, coconuts are good. What made y'all do it?
Coconuts are good. I hear you.
Naked. I like coconuts. I like dates. Anyway, what caused y'all to want to do it naked?
Actually,
it's the name of the show.
Yeah, that's just the MO of the show. But it was a fluke that I applied, and they actually called me back. You know, I really didn't expect to get on the show, but yeah, they called me back, so I ended up getting on.
Man, I hate just wearing shorts going out in the woods. I could imagine what it is being totally naked. That'd be, man.
Hey, Sabrina Black's a badass now. Sabrina Black's a badass. She's the president of Constitutional Security Force in Georgia, the local militia here. And, you know, she's running that admin and doing that. They got an FTX coming up here shortly. What, next week, right, Sabrina?
Yeah, it's this weekend.
Right on. Now, do y'all, like, go around in your neighborhoods and try to get people woke up, go house to house?
You hear me on the radio, don't you, brother?
Yeah, that's not going house to house in your neighborhood, though. It's your neighborhood.
Do you go house to house in your neighborhood and wake people up? I mean, I can call you out just as easily. Yeah, I do all of that, brother. How about you?
Actually, yeah, I do. I used to have a radio show here at Freedomizer.
Oh, good deal.
Good deal.
That's
anyway,
good. What should I call it? Hemo Valerie Sergeant Martin and Proof Negative?
Do what?
Do you know Valerie Sergeant Martin and Proof Negative then? You want a Freedomizer?
Actually, yes, I do. Proof Negative and Valerie Sergeant Martin are the ones that twist my arm to get me to do my own show.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Valerie knows me. Just tell her, did you know Valerie?
Absolutely, I know Valerie. She's in my neighborhood. We get door to door. You see what I'm saying? Yes. I'm that
okay,
guy
well,
you're trying to call out. Absolutely.
Tell Valerie, Lurie. Said hi.
Okay.
Hey, don't tell her. Hey, message Valerie and tell her Lurie said hi.
But what I do is I go around and I try to get people to be more active in their neighborhoods and pay attention to what's going on in their neighborhoods. All right, and it works both ways on this see something, say something. You see the government doing stuff wrong, your neighbors and you can go in mass and witness and let the cop know we're watching.
DET01. The mobile customer you have called is unavailable or traveled outside the coverage area. Please try your call again later.
What is that, technical difficulties?
The mobile customer you have called is unavailable or traveled outside the coverage area. Please try your call again later.
That is.
Not me.
Okay,
anyway.
It doesn't look like there's no problem. Anyway, moving on.
Moving right along. Yeah, I try to go around. Now, with me, I live out in the country. And with my neighbors, they're ranchers, okay? And they do feel the same way I do, and to the point of they ever see men in blue hats coming down their driveway, it's going to be a long driveway for those blue hats to come down, okay? But other than that, we do pay attention to what's going on in our county, and we don't like some of the things that have been going on, and to the point to where a mayor in Irving, Texas, told the UN to take their Agenda 21 and stick it where the sun don't shine. Okay? So we do get involved in local politics. And that's primarily where we focus because we have the authority and power if we get back our communities to nullify the federal government. We can tell the federal government to take a hike. Okay?
One moment. Looks like I have one more.
Okay. Just remember, the county sheriff can lock up a federal agent, okay?
Right. Hold that thought real quick. Hold that thought real quickly. I think I might have one. I think that might be Mr. Crumpton on the line.
That's not Mr. Crumpton, Eric. Eric, that's not Mr. Crumpton.
That's not Mr. Crumpton?
Number
404-510. We'll give the last four numbers. Hi, how are you doing? Welcome to Before Whom the Bell Tolls. Who am I speaking to?
Thanks. This is Blood Agent Doberman.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of my guys calling in. That's the general of constitutional security force right there. Works pretty hand in hand with Sabrina. You know, part of Chief Kessler's 3% BOG. Hey, Chris, you got that FTX coming up this weekend, don't you?
Yes, sir. It's going to be pretty much the biggest one we've held to date. Expecting a big turnout, expecting a lot of good training. Really looking forward to it. Hey, we're going to miss you.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm telling you what, Team Zen wants to be at that FTX so bad, but we are on point in Savannah this weekend at the Senate debate, you know, doing that work that we do for Derek Grayson and his 100% Constitution, 100% of the time campaign. But we're with you in spirit, brother, man. Tell all the boys that we're going to miss them over there.
Okay, well, since you mentioned... Sorry, I'll let you go finish your go ahead.
I was just going to say that's what we do. While we're training in the field, we got teams in. They're pretty much like our public relations, our media arm of what we do. And, you know, they're going to be handling business in Savannah. We're going to be handling business in Middle Georgia.
Good to hear, Chris. Sabrina's on the line, Chris. I want to make sure y'all say hey, you know.
I'm here. I hear him.
Hey, Sabrina.
Looks like I got one more.
How you doing?
Looks like I have one more
Sabrina,
again.
Sabrina, is your crew up there where y'all are? Are y'all making it out to the FDX this weekend?
Yeah, I'm making it out there.
Awesome.
Okay. Looks like I have one more guest online. I just noticed he's been on hold for about 4 minutes, or whoever it is.
Hey, Chris, man, thanks for the call, brother. I know you probably got to bounce. You're busy, so, hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to hang on the line, man. I'm going to be
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for coming by, bro. Number 248910, won't give the last four numbers. Welcome to For Whom the Bell Tolls. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Well, anyway, yeah, since you mentioned the Derek Grayson campaign, and, of course, I think that's probably cool. I, of course, for those who haven't been listening last week, I interviewed him for about an hour. And, well, for my assumption for right now is that he does sound like he has the best, he's the best voice for liberty in the race for right now. And that could change. Right now, as we know, just shortly, just about last month, Amanda Swofford got the Libertarian nomination. I really have not heard much from her as well, so I mentioned, and I've reached out to her for her an interview with that. But I, from what I've heard, I guess I haven't heard anything better. She got the support from one anti-fluoride advocacy group, and I think that's awesome. But other than that, don't really know much about her. So I guess the one thing that I do have, that I do take issue with his campaign right now is, well, like I said, it's the best voice for liberty that I hear, but still has some holes, which I would say that for anyone, for any minarchist running for office. As I mentioned earlier, I am as a voluntarist. But other than that, I have been pretty much a purist when it comes to foreign policy. And his stance on going to war with people we have treaties, the U.S. government's treaties with, kind of do take, regardless whether or not that we actually affect our security, I do take issue with that. What do you think, Jason Patrick?
I mean, you know, Eric, I know where you're coming from. I mean, you and Ben Mahalski and Roy Baker, man, you got that volunteers thing down pat. And I don't disagree with you on principle for the most part. I'm a believer, you know. If you give government credibility, I'm with that. But what I know is that people are going to vote. I mean, the one percentage, what I'll tell you is the percentage that I'm watching in elections now, the new poll that I'm watching in elections is the percentage of people that do not vote, because the last election cycle for president, it was 48%. So that means 27% of the population elected the president. So I want to, if that number gets smaller, right, so if 20% elects the president, he's president of whom, 20%? Well, what if that number drops to like 11%? Who's leading the country? If 11% is electing the CEO of the corporation that is United States of America, what are we really doing? Because if you watch, again, I'll pitch it back to Ben Swan. Ben Swan broke it down in his in one of his last deals that said breaking down the paradigm of, I can't remember what it is, but he basically said 40% of the population is independent, and you got two conglomerations fighting. Well, if less people vote and less credibility comes, then the government's just a facade. And the thing of it is you and Ben Mahalski and Roy Baker, the three guys that I know offhand that are leading that charge, and I don't completely disagree with it. The problem is you still got people voting. Will the government be illegitimized when only 11% of the population elects the president? Or does it have to go to zero? So I love what you and Roy Baker and Ben Mahalski are doing. I'm just trying to figure out what percentage it has to hit before the credibility's gone.
Well, for me, I believe really what they say on the polls. I mean, you know, they all have a people.
That's not a poll. That's the actual percentage of the population.
Well,
voted.
Real quickly, I want to respond to that real quick.
All right, go ahead.
Well, for me, I can also say, as I've covered in the first episode, is, you know, I don't always take. I mean, I might vote in this election. I haven't really. I'm going to vote for David Pennington for right now, unless he says something horrible that I agree with. I believe that you can vote in self defense, and I think, of course, if you don't vote, I think obviously you have to do something else instead of that time. There's not really much, it's not really virtue in just saying you're not going to do something. I mean, if you're not going to do anything else, and I make it a point to, for all those that are actually, that do berate those that still want to participate in the political process, that are just not doing anything but just, you know, yelling at and just arguing with me and just insulting me through their keyboards. I make good point.
Ben
just call, call them out.
Can I add a little question?
I know. I'm not talking to him. I'm not talking about him.
I think you should call in. I think Ben Mahalski should call into the radio show. Ben, if you're out there, call in, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Jason.
And I'm not talking about him. I'm not talking about Ben Mahalski.
I'm talking about America is my words. I like Ben. He's a good guy.
Right. But I'm just saying there are those that just do not go, that you know, they have nothing to offer, no other solution, and I ask them, and they don't really give anything else, but they just continue just insulting people on their keyboards through Facebook or whatever. But
Ben Mahalski does a whole lot more than Facebook. I see Ben Mahalski in the trenches. I see him at the state capitol. I see him in front of the Fed. You know, he's the tip of the spear on that, in my opinion. You know, I see him at all the rallies doing
what he
does.
Hey, you guys got me in here?
You're on, Chris. I can hear you.
Hey, you got a candidate in here, man. I'm a candidate.
Oh, Chris Hill, I forgot. Craig, what's your state district? What district are you in?
10th district.
Yeah,
state.
Chris,
House Representative.
I apologize, Chris. I apologize. I deal with you mostly on the CSF level. Chris Hill is doing exactly what the caller asked about earlier. He's jumped on board, and he's running in District 10. For a state representative to work at the state level. I mean, I know that the caller was talking about running in a lower level.
Congress.
No, he's running for House District 10 in the state of Georgia.
No, United States House Representatives.
So
I just want to say two things. Touch on, Jason, you hit the nail on the head. When it comes to elections, you have the left and right paradigm. And trying to run as an independent is I found damn near impossible due to the current election laws in the state of Georgia. And it's probably going to take another 4 to 8 years before the Libertarian Party becomes recognized and someone could run under their banner. But for me, I wanted to run as an independent because I'm sick of the left, I'm sick of the right. I think you should get rid of both of them and everybody come together and uphold the Constitution and get rid of these little fiefdoms. And you got to get 20,000 freaking notarized signatures and in order to run as an independent and then drop $5,200. So, you know, being a poor guy, man, I'm going to have to file the pauper affidavit, waive that $5,200, and being the person that's not going to have 20,000 signatures in the next couple weeks, I believe it is, I'm going to have to get in on the Republican ticket, and I got to put together a strategy to let them know I'm not sneaking in, but I'm going to let them know I'm taking point. You need to fall in line, get behind me. I'm taking lead of the Republican Party because I don't like what I'm seeing. But the election laws, they need to be changed. The mindset, it needs to be changed. But you know, we could talk about that. Or let's just say this: the reason why I'm doing it is because I want to pump the message out there that the people want change. You cannot curtail our freedom, restrict our right to bear arms, can't spy on us, you know, you can't tell us we can't protest. All of these liberties that are being restricted, that's what I want to do. I want to go to Washington. I want to tell them all that they've outlived their usefulness, and they need to. And I'll sign an affidavit saying I'll take a 25% cut in pay every year that a budget isn't passed and every year that we do not decrease the deficit or the national debt. I'm sick and tired of them getting rich, and our kids and our grandkids are going to be paying for it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
You know, if you'd do me a favor, actually, I would love to give you a whole 2 hours on. Not, of course, we can still hang out right here, but I'd love to go in more of your platform. If you want to email me at ericbell88@gmail.com, and we might be able to work something out.
Yeah, that'd
like
be
to.
Great, man. I'd appreciate
it. Because of course, in like this, I haven't made my decision whether I was going to vote for Grayson, if I'm going to vote for Grayson or not. But I mean, I was there, but I know I would live with my conscience if I just at least would not give him a platform.
Hey, I'll tell you this because since you and I both worked together on the Ron Paul campaign. I like Derek Grayson as much or more than I like Ron Paul. So I know you're that not voting guy, and I'm with it. But
Like I said, I sometimes do vote. I'm actually consider I might actually run for. I mean, like I might actually been mulling over even running for office. Not this election cycle, obviously. But
what do you suppose Roy Baker, and Ben Mahofsky think about you running for office? Just wondering.
Well, we were talking. Well, I had many debate. Well, I had quite a few debates about with Ben Mahofsky over. He ended up deleting me off Facebook for a while. He says that who doesn't really consider me a legitimate anarchist, but you know, I don't really care about it. I mean, I don't have any hard feelings.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I think. Like this has for like we're Ron Paul campaign, and I think even Derek Grayson, I'm sure even Chris Hill would they might at least serve as a, if nothing else, they'll serve as a gateway drug to actual to a message of liberty, what it actually is. Whether
and now,
so
all know
might,
drugs
so
are bad. Come on now.
Well, not all. Well, we have heard some.
I'm just messing with you, Eric.
Yeah, and. I'm thinking that would probably be in the, well, not this year, not this, well, obviously not this year, I missed the qualifying or the next one. It'd be more one if I'm actually more, financially stable to go around actually run a statewide campaign to go do that with their, for traveling or district around the 8th district. I haven't decided. And also, I'm still mulling over, hopefully, that we have better opportunities, because one thing I did say in the last, in the first episode, which I know you've heard, I mean, it's not always immoral to vote,
or participate in electoral tour pop-ups, but it is disgusting, extremely disgusting.
I can't agree with that.
Yes. But, well, I may have actually mentioned this. I was thinking about running in 2020, actually, for whatever it might. Well, I don't know if it's Derek Grayson or not, since I think he may have promised that he's only going to run one term. But regardless, whoever is Saxby Chambliss's seat, I'm thinking about running in for that seat on the same platform that Adam Kokesh said. Adam Kokesh is that is
going
to be
running.
I was
going to wonder if you're
running
for Adam Kokesh. You're going to be
about starting out at the local level and running for city council first.
Well, true. Well, I want to do
my plan is,
I was to run.
I know what you're going to say. No, you don't. That's why I say, hear me out. If you and your friends, let's say there's five or six of you, okay, or maybe even more, all run for city council.
There's definitely more.
Well, some of you would make it, some of you might not. But let's say there's 12 of you that ran for city council, and half of you won. You would have more control over the city council than the powers that be, okay? And you start inching out and edging out and giving the elbow to these people that are into the Agenda 21, and you take back your town. That gives you a solid base platform to further to go on to bigger things. And believe it or not, getting control of the county is more important than being a representative in a district of a state. You look at the power of the county. Okay.
Well, after I tell you about my platform, it'll make more sense why I would run for a higher office in a city council after I tell you the platform.
What happens by the time we get into this office?
Our constitutional rights have already been restricted so much. I mean, it's not even going to be about running for office and trying to make change. It's going to be, fight to restore our constitution. That's what I'm saying, is that we can hope for change.
That's why I'm saying, focus more quickly on the smaller local level to where you can nullify what the feds do. A sheriff can arrest an IRS agent in his county. You understand?
Yes.
If you get your county back, the county commissioner, the sheriff, those, and the county judge, those are the three main things. But what you do is you start at the smaller city council level first. You nullify what the mayor wants to do, because the mayor can get voted against, okay? He's not the end-all, be-all. The city council has a lot of authority. And then from there, after you've gotten some experience and recognition from the public in your county, they see what you've done, they say, hey, let's put this guy in charge of being a commissioner. Let's elect him. Hey, let's have him as sheriff. Hey, this guy here, man, he's four people. He's not another Washington, D.C. thug.
I got a question. We got a few callers in this group, so I'm gonna call all the callers out. How many people in this call right now have actually been to their city council meeting?
I go every time I go home when I get a chance.
I know you do. I've done heard your philosophy, and I'm with it, brother. So I'm calling out the rest of the call. I know you do. I've heard your logic, and you're right on the money. And I agree with you. If I was going to run for office, I've been, I was at, I got some coverage because I was in the state capitol. I was working smart out of Atlanta.com and rescued some people, but I was really at the capitol checking out a position, like, am I going to run for this legislative body? And to me, it kind of looked like a waste of time. And so I backed up. I'm like, and now I'm more online with the caller, say, hey, maybe city council, or like you said, sheriff. is a better office to run for. It's local, which, you know, can be a little bit easier or a little bit harder, but you can affect a little bit more change locally and do exactly what the caller just said, because that's a really...
Yeah, because, see, you're not fighting against as big of a machine when you're going local.
Absolutely.
And
it's a lot harder
to rig an election. But anyway, go ahead. Yes,
well, that is... Well, I'm going to go to a quick 60-second commercial, and I'm going to respond to all that after we come back, okay?
Zendthecar.com.
Well, it's going to be another commercial before that, after that. And I'll respond to all of that afterwards.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand.
Anybody
You've
in
books,
there?
Listened to podcasts,
yes.
Attended lectures, surfed websites,
cool.
And watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers. From LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, welcome back to For Whom the Bell Tolls, and Larry was just explaining to me why I should consider running locally rather than for federal office, and I'm going to respond to that. Right, it will make sense under what kind of if I first explain to what kind of platform that I would actually be running on. Of course, and as I tried to mention earlier, I'm sure all of you are aware of Adam Kokesh and his announcement earlier that, of course, he was his plan to run for president in 2020 on the platform of the peaceful dissolution of the United States federal governments. That is actually the platform that I would be considered running for if I was to run. I would run on that platform in the United States Senate. And I might run for it. I might change. I might and I think that for that reason, if I was to run for a state office, I would actually run for more of a secessionist platform. And we see what happened last time. And I kind of do not really want a civil war right now. And I think that would be a lot more. So I think dissolving it on from the federal level, from the top down, would be a more peaceful solution on that end. And if I was to run from city council, then state representative, and for that one, personally, I fear for my own soul that politics would just grab a hold of me and would corrupt me, and of course I would be the exact same person I am fighting against. So that is why I would not go from city council to state representative, and then the Congress, and then from the United States Senate. If I was run for office, I don't really know my chances for electability. I think more seriously than Vermin Supreme or Lyndon LaRouche, that would be okay. I mean, obviously, I will run the intention of actually winning and doing exactly what I say I am going to be doing. But probably at the most, we'll probably just use the platform to wake up minds. Okay, who wants to respond? Anyone there?
I'm here. Sabrina, go ahead.
Sabrina's not there. Well, it says I have. Well, there's like three people that have dropped the call.
Sorry,
it looks like
I'm
I
here.
Have. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi. I was just letting y'all know.
What's the question again, Ed?
So, okay, I was just responding to why I would run for United States Senate.
Use your platform. Yeah, I heard. You know, I think it's great that, you know, I mean, I think every one of us at one point has had in our head to run for some kind of office, even, you know, locally or whatever. There's a lot of waking up going on, and I think it's awesome that everybody wants to try and wake up more people, but at what point do we get to say, you know, enough is enough, and no matter how much waking that we do, people aren't responding in the right way. They're not voting out the right people. They're not voting in the right people. And we're still stuck in this cycle. You know, at what point do we need to push a little harder than just running for these positions and knowing that we're not going to get it because we're the independents?
Right.
Excellent question. Can I take it?
Is that you, Chris Hill?
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
See, in order to, you got to be in the game in order to change the game. And part of the problem is that the politicians got their hands in the United States Treasury, and they're giving, you know, people are living on the dole. It's like half of the country is not working, you know, in some form or fashion. I'm in the bankruptcy profession, and I tell you, the rampant abuse of the Social Security system that I see is unreal. But you're not going to be able to beat Santa Claus, as Rush said. When you got Democrats and progressives giving handouts, selling this pipe dream of free health care, you know, it's just, this is not going to happen. And that's kind of why I'm dissociating myself with local politics. Not to say that their cause is true, but they get caught up in things like zoning and things that, you know, that just don't fit my forte. I'm interested in, you know, immigration. I'm interested in national issues and you know, do I...
There's more of a fire in your belly for that.
Yeah.
Everyone can understand that. I mean...
Yeah, so, I would hope for a peaceful revolution. I think that if we don't get these changes, a revolution is going to be inevitable. I would much rather see that than a civil war where it would be, you know, chaos and it would be it'd be hard to you know, organize and bounce back to that. So what I want to do is, you know, be a voice out there and find like-minded people to join me, and I'll join them. You know, I'm not the speaker by no means, but to make our voices heard,
You listen. This is Commander General of the 3% DOG militia in Georgia saying he's not the spokesperson. But what I will tell you is the commander has some First Amendment ops that are coming up locally here in Georgia where we will stand up for our First Amendment rights to redress grievances and ask sheriffs in our state, why are you doing this silly stuff that you shouldn't be doing? Maybe we'll go to city council. Maybe we will get involved. But the thing about it is there's a voice that needs to rise, and that voice comes from a population. Now, whether it comes from CSF Georgia and Kessler's group or Oath Keepers or Georgia Gun Owners or Georgia Carries Concealed or Houston County Carries, there's groups all over the place. And what I want to tell these groups, listen, I want to tell all these groups, will you please stand up with other groups and make your voices heard loud and strong at your local city council, at your state representatives, at Operation American Spring coming up in May, which we will be at. Zen and the Car team is rolling to American Spring to tell folks enough is enough. We want the Constitution back. That's local. That's local at the local level city council. That's at the sheriff's department. That's at the state level in the state capitol. You're going to see them there. And that's at the federal level, the federal government, and say, we are tired of this, and we don't want it anymore.
And I will support you 100%, brother.
I appreciate it, General.
I will. Okay, where's this, by the way? You're going to the state capitol, you said?
I'm telling you what, American Spring, okay, Operation American Spring, if you don't know about it, look it up. Zen in the Car TV is all over this. Constitutional Security Force is all over this. Mark Kessler's 3% BOG is all over this. Overpasses for impeachment, which is now Overpasses for America. Somebody please put that link. I can't do it. I'm not at a computer. Put that link in the thread there, in the chat room. Operation American Spring is happening at the federal government. It's also happening in Georgia at the state level. You can find your state. Go look on Facebook. AOS, Operation American Spring, your state name. Find that thing. Jump on board. Get involved in Operation American Spring. It is the people rise up and say, we're tired of this.
Okay.
1.5 million so far.
What's that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, 1.5 million expected so far.
And who's Chris? Who is the leader of that? I mean, I know we're trying to reach out to Kessler. I'm sure he's aware of it. Mark Kessler is on the ball. He's got it going on. We're fixing to pick up his radio slot as near as I can tell. And I know we're rolling. We're BOG, so we're going to be there. But can you tell us more about that event, Operation American Spring? Who's leading that charge? And I know Overpass has picked it up, so.
Without looking at my computer, I could not. I believe there's at least two colonels, retired Army personnel who are going to be taking point, and some more people. It's massive. I'd have to look it up.
I mean,
okay.
I understand, Chris. I know you're rolling BOG style, and we're rolling with you. You know, we're going to be the media at that event because that's what we do here at Zen in the Car TV, but ZenInTheCar.com.
Don't forget Overpasses to impeach as well.
Oh, yeah, Overpasses. Listen, Earl is doing good things. Listen, she's going to let up that event. Earl Shea she Overpasses. It's Overpasses for America now on Facebook. So if you go to Overpasses America in Georgia, you're going to find Earl Shea. I'm in that group. Overpasses is doing good things. CSF backs them up. Tip of the spear, baby. I appreciate it, Chris. And I would invite all Eric Bell's listeners, find Overpasses for America in your state. Wherever you're listening from, come to Operation American Spring. You can come to Operation American Spring in Washington, D.C. I will be there. You can find Operation American Spring at your state capitol. I know we got BOG rolling in our state capitol. I don't know if our caller knows about it in Texas, but Operation American Spring, man, this is a grassroots effort. That is rising up and doing exactly what we're saying. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, hell, if you can get an Operation American Spring at your city council, go do that. Operation American Spring at your city council.
Right. This is why I was talking about taking back your towns, because you have a bunch of these old fogey real estate brokers and stuff that run city councils that want nothing to do with this. And they make up rules as they go along and kick you out of city council, and they close stuff down. I've seen it all over the country where, they're like little dictators, and you have to take back your city council so they can't pull this crap. And as far as running for state and federal stuff, that's great, and I understand, and there's an importance in it, but without the backing, you're not going to get it because of the machine that's already in place makes sure that you don't get there if you're not one of them. Now, granted, you have some that slip under the radar, but those are few and far in between, and they're very careful now because of people like Walter Jones and Ron Paul. They're very careful of not letting any more of those in. Rand Paul slipped in barely, and they tried to cheat. Mm. They couldn't cheat enough to stop it, okay? But you take back a city council, and that gives you a platform to run to take back the county, which then would give you the platform to run to to take back the state. And I guarantee you, you lead by example and take back a town, the rest of the state will look at you, and the next thing you know, they'll be telling you, we want you for governor, or we want you for attorneys general, or, well, you're not a lawyer, but, and we want you for whatever, okay? Now, constitutionally, if you're a lawyer, you shouldn't be holding public office in the first place, but that's for another show. But if you start out with, I'm serious, everything that's going on right now, the corporation of Washington, D.C., the whole country being a corporation, it's wrong, okay? But anyway, you take back city council, you get name recognition, and the next thing you know, other people are saying, hey, these people are right on the money. Why don't you help it? You know?
Can I try to look at you for a second?
Done.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, quick, I need to go to a quick commercial real quick, and then of course, and Mr. Crumpton should be coming back. He messaged me on Facebook. He should be joining us by the time we get back. Just hold that thought for just about another minute real quick.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me, what legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights, or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
All right, welcome back. And we were continuing. Larry was talking about the importance, of course, of local politics. And, of course, why would we be better if more efficiently to run for local office rather than, you know, state and federal, and how folks like Rand Paul and Ron Paul and Walker Jones kind of slipped on the radar. Okay. So what are you saying, Mr. Larry? Or actually, Jason had a point, if I'm not mistaken.
On Ron Paul and what?
Well, you had a point to what he said, and how, of course, it was how Ron Paul and Walter Jones, they kind of just slipped under the radar. And of course, how Rand Paul just barely made it, which what Larry said, which...
My thing is, it's not hard. Listen, the Ron Paul thing is a source of contention in the Republican Party and still is, and I don't really understand why. You can look. I mean, the hard part is nobody's really paying attention, so it's really easy to dismiss the Ron Paul campaign if you were just looking at it from your little sphere of influence. But, see, I was involved in that thing nationwide. I was involved in Ron Paul groups all the way across the country in different states. And the same thing happened in every state. What happened is you have the Republican establishment pushing back against the guy. The media wasn't covering him. Now, Ben Swan, I mean, I just throw it to Ben Swan because Ben Swan admitted, he says, somebody told me that Ron Paul wasn't getting equal coverage. This is Ben Swan's own words. He says, and he says, no, he is. And so what he did is, as an independent journalist minded, he looked into that and went, oh, my goodness, these people are right. So if you go to BenSwan.com and you look back through his archives, and he's got the most current one that's against what he's saying is Democrat. And let's end bipartisanship. If you look up BenSwan.com, and bipartisanship, you can see what happened all across the country. There was this huge pushback. Now, people who were involved in that saw it, and they're awake and mad as hell. I mean, isn't that right, Eric?
Yes.
So people who were paying attention and saw that know, and they're mad as hell. I mean, that's just the truth. But people who didn't see it don't know.
You got one of them sitting right here, man. I was totally pissed off to see him screw Ron Paul on the convention floor. But this is kind of a rhetorical question, and I don't want to sound cynical, but getting elected to a city office or even going as far as to say, what can Rand Paul or any other politician do with regards to Connecticut? My point would be, like in Connecticut, it's too late for an office, it's too late for a race to address what's going on in Connecticut, where almost 300,000 people have been made felons overnight. There's no congressman, there's no senator that's going to undo the damage that's been done there. So in kind of a little bit of a gray area where it is going to be only, it's going to be left up to the people in Connecticut to defend their Second Amendment rights. And by extension, if they ask for support from other Americans in other states to support them in their cause, I would suggest to you that we have an obligation to do that, lest the problem arrive in the state of Georgia.
Okay, now I got to hear Sabrina's take on this. I know Sabrina's still there. Sabrina, give us some insight, a woman's insight on what we're talking about here.
Which Kitlin or the
Rand Paul? Listen, darling, you can address it however you want.
Well, I've spoken to you personally on the topic of Connecticut. You know, they've got a battle going on up there. But I guess what the main point of that is if it can happen there, you know, it can happen anywhere. And when we all stand together and say, you know, not only has Connecticut had enough, but nobody else around the entire country is going to stand for anything like that. You know, we really put our foot down and say what we're looking for. To say that no politician can come forward and undo the damage, you know, that's a big statement, but I don't think it's true. And I think a large part of that comes into play with raising people's awareness and raising their faith, you know. A lot of times we look at everything in the Constitution that we've lost, you know, everything that they've taken from us and everything that they've added a law to that kind of trumps something in the Constitution. We've compromised so many times that when you start listing those things, people are looking at that and they're saying, what the hell are we fighting for? You know, there's nothing left. You have people challenging faith on top of all that. So when you have this, I call it a tactic, you know, it's a tactic of controlling people, and a lot of people have fallen for it. And there are others who are becoming aware that they've fallen for it. And so one of my approaches is, you know, when we come together as a nation, whether it's in defense of Connecticut and how we choose our politicians, you know, it's all going to start with raising people's hope and faith again. You know, that's where we need to start. We need to put the faith back in place. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we got to believe in God or Jesus Christ or anything like that, but people need to know that there is something. Well, it helps, but they need to be aware that that's not their only option, that having faith in something is better than having faith in nothing. And when you have this whole atheist movement that's really demanding people to stop believing in anything, you know, that really hurts this nation because a lot of people are easily swayed by that when they see all the damage that has been done. And when we tell them that nobody can change that, you know, it really is a kick to their balls, you know. And so,
ouch. Yeah, really. You can say that again. You realize the founders of this country did base the Constitution on Christian principles. And no matter how much people hate God or hate Jesus or whatever, and the way you know, people try to argue and say, oh, they were deists and all this other stuff. And those are people that have really never, ever read anything that the founders wrote, because if they did, they'd find out that that's a bald-faced lie. But anyway, Washington, for example, did say that a nation without Christian morals will fall. Okay?
And, does that mean that freedom of religion only applies to Christian morals? I mean, freedom of religion.
Wait a minute, hold on. I didn't say that. I didn't, because when they talked about freedom of religion, come in and tell you, you have to be an Episcopalian, you have to be an Anglican, you have to be this or that. Okay.
How about the majority? How about the majority?
Well, no, because then you're talking about democracy, and we don't have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic with God-given, unalienable rights.
Good.
Okay. I think what we're talking about is an unconstitutional war of values. It's a little bit different.
Well, you know, they admit, if you read their writings, they admit there's been a war on the moral structure of this country, because that's one of the Marxist document playbook rules is you undermine the morals of a country, and there are other things involved too, but that's if you look at the communist
Ron Paul question.
I mean, Sabrina, did you follow Ron Paul in the last election? I'm curious.
Not very much. Not really. I kind of got turned on to him around the end of it all, but I never really followed those guys very much. Sorry to bust your bubble.
You are where you're at.
And well, your philosophy before you found out about Ron Paul? Basically saying, did it change at all?
A little bit, you know, because I have a brother who plagues me with the whole, you know, if everybody voted for an independent, you know, that whole thing. Before then, you know, I argued, you know, there's no shot in hell of an independent winning an election. So, you know, I was along the lines of, you know, your choices are Democrat or Republican. So I did follow suit with Romney's running. You know, I had no problem with his faith or anything that he brought to the table. I honestly was a huge Herman Cain supporter, and the only reason I got turned off of him was because he decided to drop out after all the rumors were started. You know, I really hate when these elections come up and people start throwing around, oh, so-and-so has this skeleton in the closet. You know, I don't care who slept with who or did what. You know, if what they bring to the table is true and holds to the Constitution, that's what I'm more concerned about. So
what if they're a wolf in sheep's clothing and they're not wanting the Constitution and they work for the Federal Reserve? I mean, Herman Cain, for example, okay, was, and as far as I'm concerned, still is part of the New World Order. He worked high up in the Federal Reserve. That's not
absolutely
our friend. Okay?
No.
And with Mitt Romney, can we say Romneycare and Obamacare side by side? Okay?
Yeah, there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the two of them.
Yeah, not much.
From a libertarian
and with inflation, it's probably about a nickel. No, there's not even a nickel's worth now.
Yeah. I look in-depth part of what a person really is deep down inside and what he's done in his life, because that reflects on what he's going to do in the future, okay? And, yes, you know, people can repent, but 99.99% of the time, you know, you get one of these New World Order people, they ain't repenting, kiddo, okay? They're hell-bent on undermining everything we have here. Look at NAFTA, CAFTA, and now we have Trans-Pacific Partnership. Get out of town. This isn't any good. You know, and so I look past all the smoke and mirrors. I say, forget all that superficial stuff, okay? Look at really what's going on and what can we do to stop it. And can we get in on the federal level? Maybe in time, not right away, because it's rigged. They appoint presidents. You don't elect a president. It's appointments, because it's a corporation. And the reason why they get away with it and nothing happens is because it is a corporation. Oblah is basically an appointed CEO of a corporation, okay? And that's why he's not been impeached. because he hasn't violated the Constitution, because he's not obeying and he doesn't have to uphold the Constitution. Does that sound crazy? But check it out. Because of Washington, D.C. being a corporation, they're not liable to the Constitution. They're outside of that, and they operate under administrative law. This is fact
well,
that you
they
can
will,
check out. They're not going to teach
well,
you.
They
this,
will, well, they won't. Buy, well, they won't buy the Constitution because constitutions don't really limit power. It's not the same, and that's the why I'm not reason why I'm not a constitutionalist.
Well,
I mean,
a constitutionalist. Wait a minute. I'm not into administrative law. I think that.
Well, I'm not anywhere. Oh, I'm a volunteerist, sir, and I don't think.
Well,
I think
without
the
Constitution,
that it,
you have no rights. What do you base
well,
your rights
on? Well, yes, we have rights. Yes, we have rights. You don't have. You said they were given from God.
Okay. Yeah.
I would
but,
base
without the Constitution, how do you stop people from being mob rule?
Mob rule? Well, society would not deal. Would not actually. Well, of course, what am I saying with this? I do not want to understand what I say by what I say. I'm not a constitutionist. I don't want the Constitution. I don't want any government whatsoever. I don't want to give
okay,
anyone
well,
a monopoly of force.
I've heard I know the anarchist
yeah.
argument on this, and I have yet had one anarchist tell me, how do you stop from having mob rule?
Well, you defend yourself either by, well, arming yourself, or you have market forces for people to defend
you. So you wind up being in the same situation as a democracy. You're having stronger forces going up against a weaker force. Whereas with the Constitution, you have a power structure in place that says, look, he has God-given rights. I don't care if there's 100 million of you against his God-given rights. You cannot take them away. I have the right to be a redhead, which I am, natural born. Okay? I don't care if there's 100 million of you. You don't have the right to tell me to change my hair color. I have the right to be a Christian. Now, technically right now, which future holding what happens, who knows, but right now, you can't put me in jail for being a Christian just because 100 million of you say, we don't have Christians anymore because I have a God-given right. Just like in Texas, I have a God-given right to have a gun. Now, granted, they're trying to slowly but surely take that away. But as it stands right now, you can't have it. Even if all the people from California came to Texas, which would be a bad mistake, they'd get shot, they can't have our guns. Okay?
You're not going to let all the people in California come to Texas, are you?
I need to get, man, we need to put up a brick wall that's 20 feet thick. But anyway, the point was, though,
but yeah,
anarchy
but the thing is,
leads to a disaster. Every time you look at democracy, because anarchy is basically democracy on steroids in a worse way.
Okay,
wait. I got to respond to this real quickly. Well, I mean, the point is, we don't really, like you said, it might end up towards democracy or what we have right now. And the thing is, I'll be very honest, I don't know what would happen with that. I think that majority would not want chaos, and there will be market, there will be protection services, there will be still be some law, there will be court, there will have court systems and all that stuff regardless. You know, the thing is, I really don't know. It might happen that way. The one thing is, I can't really give you an actual roadmap of what would happen. That's what I'm saying. Either people's rights will be protected or they won't. I mean, they really haven't worked with the experiment the founding fathers had set up right now.
Study
I know that
history
much.
And look at human study history and look at human
yes.
nature, man. And you have what you
yes, Jason.
Listen, I'm not a big student of anarchy, but I do listen to stuff on Molyneux, and Curtis will be calling in later to the show because he's part of the team, but Stefan Molyneux, he covers it in Everyday Anarchy, and he says, listen, when you're at home deciding how many kids you want to have and what you're going to make for dinner And where are you going to go on the weekend? You practice anarchy every day. And you do it just
That's not anarchy. That's freedom of choice. And you're doing it because you have a constitution.
Because you have a right to do it. Anarchy. Yes, it is. And look up anarchy in the dictionary. Anarchy is without
a
right.
Okay, let's finish.
Eric knows that anarchy is without government. So you make all those decisions every day without government, and you do it. It's where you find your peace. It's where you find your zen, is when you make choices void of government. That is anarchy. And you do it every day in your home. Every day you practice anarchy. And I'm not
without the Constitution, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. As it is now, those things are getting more and more limited because the government is outside the Constitution.
But those things
Constitution
are anarchy.
Saying you should have the right to, and no, it's not anarchy. Anarchy means without government.
Without
okay?
government.
Mob rule.
You do those things without government, don't you?
What?
You make all those decisions without government, do you not? You make all those decisions via anarchy. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Actually, no, on a small scale, I am the government in my own household.
No, you're
the dictator.
You are
no,
anarchy.
I'm a dictator.
That means you're still
the government.
I'm the ruler. If I'm the ruler of my house, that's not anarchy. That is, I'm the ruler of my house.
Right. I understand.
Okay.
You're the dictator of your home. You dictate what happens in your home. Your family doesn't get to practice
anarchy,
but you do. You practice anarchy,
and
you have
anarchy,
a government in your home, and you're the tyrant. I get it.
No, I'm not a tyrant. I actually,
you just said my family doesn't get to. I rule my home.
I could be a benevolent dictator for all you know.
You can be a benevolent dictator, but you're still a dictator, are you not?
All right.
That is not tyranny. Do you understand what the meaning of tyranny is?
Yeah, I mean, somebody else makes your decisions for you.
No, that's not what tyranny is, actually.
Oh, okay.
But, look, we're like, mincing words here over ridiculous
No, we're not.
Stuff.
Eric, tell me, am I wrong, Eric?
Well, no, I do not think you're wrong, sir, but it's,
I go by
what
you make up stuff, all right? Look, and what we're talking about is on a larger scale. When you're dealing with more than just your house, you're dealing with people all over the country.
Everything
that can be the behavior of people.
So
human nature behavior.
Right. So all the federal government is your house scaled up to the largest it can be, and all the federal government is your house. Your house is scaled down the federal government. It's the same thing. It's just perception.
No, it's not actually. No, and double no.
Okay.
Number one,
okay.
My house doesn't have a bunch of fluoride poisoning people. I don't have a bunch of eugenicists in my house. I don't have a bunch of gun grabbing. Well, I like to grab my own guns, but I don't have a bunch of people that want to take guns away from people in my house.
I'm not trying to throw the tyrant.
What? You don't even know what the definition of a tyrant is, dude.
Ooh, dude.
Go look up what tyrant and benevolent dictator are, and then come back and we'll talk. Because this is ridiculous to go back and forth and argue. I'm not going to do this childish game crap. But
Eric.
In the meantime, the Constitution protects everybody. Anarchy protects nobody.
Eric.
You got it?
Well, you can protect. I can. Well, you'll protect yourself, and you can employ other people to protect you for you. That's
okay. And then the guy down the street does the same thing and has a bigger force than you, and you lose. So
well, for SARS, well, no.
And the Constitution says no, that ain't happening.
Okay.
Nobody can trample on you.
Anarchy will become fiefdoms.
Anarchy will become a dictatorship. The difference between a dictatorship and anarchy is 6 months. About the same as a democracy.
Well,
right,
no, nonetheless, well, but
well,
we don't know that. It might happen or might not happen.
Look at humanity itself, dude. Look at the world around you. It's a mess. Even with the most perfect form of government man has ever made, it still got screwed up because people infiltrated and the American people were apathetic and didn't stay watch over the back door to keep a burglar from breaking in.
Andrew Jackson.
And that's a good point.
About it. They tried to assassinate Andrew Jackson.
And that's
they
a good point why we should not have them. And that's a good point because those sick, rotted people will try to kill you.
More awake.
Eric, has the caller listened to stuff on
you guys? I've listened to him.
Larry.
Yes, I have listened to him. Yes,
have you listened to his everyday?
He's full of crap. Yes,
have you
I've listened to him.
Okay, so you understand that when you make your choices in your home, you do it void of government, do you not?
I do it because the government says I have a constitutional right to do so. Do I not?
Yeah, you have the right to do so, but what I'm saying is when you do so, you do it void of government, do you not?
Right.
No, I am the government in my own household.
Okay,
that's getting semantic. You might try to use different words here. Just, you don't argue
right
in semantic.
I'm doing right back at you what you're trying to do to me. And you can't handle it, and you try to do things
this is me talking. That was Jason here. I'm just saying, okay,
I'm
we counted.
Eric, I'm not trying to do anything to Larry. I respect his.
I know.
His
I understand. I was talking. Well, I know. It's all cool,
but
bro.
But you're nitpicking on anarchy in a household. It's not the same if you do have anarchy in a household, you're going to wind up having kids that are nothing but brats, and you're going to visit
in
prison. Okay.
Anyway. And Mr. Crumpton's on the line. I'm going to let him in. I'm going to let Mr. Crumpton on line.
All right.
Daniel, how you doing, brother?
How's it going, Mr. Crumpton? How are you doing?
That must be Mr. Patrick that bullhorned me.
Yes, that was.
Mr. Bell.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Good. We're just getting into our Constitution versus Anarchy debates, which I don't know if you've heard it, if you're listening on that. And, okay. Yes, well, so welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. Who all am I on the line with? I gotta say hey to everybody. Who's on the line?
I believe Jason, you know that. Sabrina, I believe Congressman Hill is our, soon to be Congressman, is here. And I have our guest, Larry, who stumbled in here. We've been having a chat with him as well.
Gotcha,
hi, Larry.
Gotcha.
Okay. And before we continue, I guess I have to go to our last break real quick. So. Yes, you did. So we'll just go sit tight real quick.
All right, man. Go ahead and pitch
your
deal.
Hello again, Freedomist. Proof is here, and I want to talk to you about a brand new soda maker called SodaStream. Now, the Proof House has had SodaStream for about a year, and we love the thing. We use it quite often. With SodaStream, you can have fresh-made soda in seconds. One of the big things we like about it is that there's no high-fructose corn syrup and no aspartame. There's over 60 flavors, or you can create your own. Not just sodas, they also have iced teas and energy drinks. Here at the Proof House, we make egg cream sodas all the time. Some other facts to consider here, there's no electricity, no more wasted bottles and cans, and the most important thing is that it tastes great. Keep in mind, too, this is a perfect family present for Christmas, or, hey, just surprise the family with something great. Also, for a limited time, there's free shipping. So go to FreedomizerRadio.com and look for the SodaStream link, and I hope you check out the product. That's SodaStream right on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and I don't know about you, but that SodaStream sounds pretty tasty. And, yes, I was just, I just welcomed in Daniel Crumpton, or Jeff Crumpton, I believe, he's here, Daniel Crumpton, and we're kind of getting a very heated anarchy versus Constitution break, Constitution debates, and we can probably start up and ask what's your take on that, Mr. Crumpton?
Well, I mean, I make no bones about it. I'm a constitutionalist. However, I do believe that the Constitution was, it wasn't a legal document. It was everybody knows I believe it was a spiritual document. When you really look at what the Founding Fathers put together, they did put up a society that was based on voluntarism. But, you know, like they also said on the steps of the Capitol building, what have you given us? We've given you a republic, if you can keep it. If people don't understand that what the Founding Fathers actually gave us was a voluntary society, if you really boil it down, they did. So whenever you say, what's the distinction between constitutional and anarchy, I say that there is no distinction between the two. What the Founding Fathers essentially set up was that, you know, all of your rights are given to you from a supreme being, however you understand that supreme being. If you have a personal connection with that supreme being, and however you understand that connection, it overrides anything that the state can really write. Are you following me?
Well, I hear you, but, you know, and of course we've kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier on the, we talked about this at the No War in Syria rally in Atlanta a little bit. But, you know, I would have to disagree with you because obviously, you know, just the history and how it came to be, which, you know, they're just supposed to just amend the Articles of Confederation. So, and so it didn't come upon the citizenry or the populace. I won't use that word. Thanks to you, I kind of learned what that word actually means. But it was imposed on the populace involuntarily, and of course, it didn't recognize the rights of other individuals that were in it, such as the black people. And of course, it gives it the power to steal. It gives it for an individual to steal from people. So I would disagree with that. But it is, of course, I would, of course, mention the Constitution because when people realize that the government's not following these limitations that are, you know, supposed to upset them, supposed to limit them, that might get people's wheels turning and they're thinking, well, maybe it's not a very good idea to give anyone the monopoly on coercion. And they will, of course, just ignore whatever laws, whatever limitations you do put on them.
Well, Eric, let me ask you this. Do you have a driver's license?
A driver's license? Currently, no, do not.
Right. Is it expired, suspended? I mean, what's the status of it?
It's suspended. I'm going to be getting, right now just weighing that of renewed, but anyway, what about
okay,
it?
Okay, let me frame it this way. Whatever the situation is with your driver's license, do you intend to rectify it with the state and get a brand new driver's license? Is that something that you're going to voluntarily do?
Well, that is kind of you make a very good point about when you talk about the Real ID legislation that does do, but for the purposes that, of course, that does seem like which would really set me back if I do not have a mode to actually run freely. I mean, there are some ways where you do have to set your line, though. But
okay. And so, whenever your situation is done, do you intend to get a driver's license or anything with the Real ID, or are you just going to not comply? Is essentially what I'm asking.
Well, the moment I probably might look like that might be where I might end up doing, but it's I don't know right now, but I don't know. We all do have to go of our lines we do have to draw, as Michael Bernard did say.
Eric,
yes, go ahead.
Can I introduce Daniel Lewis Crumpton?
Sure, go ahead.
Daniel Lewis Crumpton is the producer of ZenInTheCar.com and ZenInTheCar TV.
He is an activist, and he reaches out to other activists and tries to activate them in this process of, I don't know, you know, if you want to call it constitutionalist or volunteerist. I know there's some digressing things here, but Daniel Lewis Crumpton is working it from every level. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that our caller's knew. He, you know, he is Zen in the Car TV. He is ZenInTheCar.com.
Okay.
You're making me blush, brother.
And he's also an author, by the way, which will give him some time to promote his book towards the end of the segment.
No. Let me go ahead and say this while we go ahead and we have our lips chapped to each other's asses. I will say we have Jason on the line and Sabrina. I know that, and I just want to go ahead and say, you know, most people know us as ZenInTheCar.com and ZenInTheCar TV crew, but I want to let everybody who's listening know, you know, we are not just doing this because of whatever motive people may think. We are truly what you see is what you get. We are very close. We're a very close-knit group. We all are true believers. All of us have had so many sacrifices for the cause of liberty and freedom, activism. And I love each and every one of these guys. And they have saved my life on several occasions, you know, and we're a family. And I want people to understand that we're a family. And that, you know, this family motto is that, I don't know if we can pin a motto on it, but I'm going to tell you, having gotten to know Curtis and Jason and Sabrina, we believe in this movement that we're all a part of. We really do believe. And we're
Chris
not...
Chris Hill, CSF.
Do what now?
Hey, Chris Hill, CSF.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Don't forget me, Coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting back to that, yeah, I mean, the stories we could tell you guys about how me and Chris, you know, got together in the CSF with Team Zen, it's really too amazing and too phenomenal to really describe in words. But I look back at what the Founding Fathers said, whenever you read about the revolution. They say that, you know, there was a divine providence that was guiding the situation. And having done what we've done the past couple of years, you know, the four of us, we've done it on a wing and a prayer. We really have. And there is no doubt that what we are doing is being led by divine providence. I believe that. And I think they do too.
Right.
Sabrina is still on the line there, Daniel.
Go ahead. I mean, she could tell you. I mean, you know, there's two aspects to what we do. There's the political and there's the spiritual, and we try to, build a bridge between the two. You know, some people can't take that.
One of the things I think is important to mention is that the whole reason there's this push to squash Christianity, to squash spirituality, is because they know that that was part of the founding process, that that was what led the founding fathers to do what they do. So if they can crush those people right off the bat, they know that there's no chance in creating a following. So, and that was along the lines of what I was talking about, is reinstilling the faith in people. You know, you can't let people fall into atheism and lose their belief that there's something powerful here. You know, you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in one creator. You have to know that we are all part of this earth, and in being part of this earth, we all share one common goal, and that is to coexist as peacefully as possible. And when you have these people come into power that try to crush that idea, you know, it turns the world into turmoil, and that's where we're at right now. People are in turmoil. They need their faith restored.
You're saying your rights end when they infringe on mine. And I'm going to go ahead and hang up real quick, but I just want to say, with regards to the Constitution versus the anarchists, one, for over 200 years, people have died defending the Constitution, you know, without splitting hairs or getting into semantics. None, as far as I'm aware of, have ever died for the cause of anarchy. That's not to say that when the situation arises, if we have a breakdown in society and the Constitution weighs in the balance, and it does become a situation where we're in a state of anarchy, then I will abide by the laws of anarchy, but I will not be defending anarchy itself. I'll be playing by the rules in order to of anarchy to restore the Constitution. But yeah, that's just me, and I just want to sign off. Chris Hill, appreciate you guys having me on, and if you guys get a chance, go to facebook.com/groups Middle Georgia Militia, and or democracy.com/ChristopherHill2014. Appreciate it, Eric, and send the car to me.
Hey, good looking out, Chris, man. You all have a good time at that at FTX, you know, CSF. Hoorah.
Hoorah.
Yes. All right. I guess that was Chris Hill, everybody. He sounds like he's a real good guy. If, like I said, if voting's your thing, I would check him out. I should have worked some type of interview with him. Later, give him a whole 2 hours, and we'll get to his platform. But, yes.
Thank you.
But yeah, sorry, you were about to say something? Hello? My bad.
I think it was Sabrina. Sabrina was still going.
No, I'm good.
No, man, I want to hear more. That was getting deep. I like that.
hey, Eric, I wanted to say, you know, Curtis is out working a campaign right now, and he's a volunteerist. So you got a volunteerist in Curtis Sermons that is you know, biting his lip, doing what he does, out there trucking on a campaign that he believes involves liberty. I'm not sure he's going to get time to call in, but I want to make sure, you know, this is a Zen in the Car episode. So Curtis Sermons is one of the group, but he's out BOG right now and doing what he does. So I'm not sure he's going to call in, but I want to make sure that the listeners were aware.
I'm trying to keep tabs on him. He's trying to call in, but you have to understand something about Curtis Sermons. This guy is an activist from blood to bone, and if you don't see him on Facebook or, you know, that little green dot on Facebook, that means he's out there and he's passing out flyers. And I know he's working hard for Heath Clark, who is running for office, somebody else who's in the Liberty Movement. But, you know, if he can edge a minute, we'd love to hear from him.
Yeah, yes. And like I said earlier, I mean, I might still, like, I don't take a dogmatic stance against voting. I do think it is rather, I do really feel disgusting when I, well, since after the 2012 campaign, though, but like I said, if you're going to take the stance that it's immoral to vote, that, and of course, especially, I would like it that you don't berate people that do, but, you know, because there were, but of course, it's offered different solutions of things that you could fill the time and, you know, participate in the political process.
If I can take a minute, when I run into that paradigm that you're talking about, I tell people, you know, unilaterally that, you know, there was a civil rights movement in this country, and it was, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King and the Black Panthers, okay? Now, those guys didn't get along on the surface, but I know they met privately, and I've read some articles about it, and I can't tell you which articles, but let me say, Dr. Martin Luther King needed the Black Panthers, and the Black Panthers needed Dr. Martin Luther King. And they found some unity in that behind the scenes and fought that differently in front of everybody else. And so when I see the liberty movement, as we talk about fighting for this country, I see it divided in such a way that sometimes it digresses. And I'm not that guy. You know, student of history, I can look at that civil rights movement that happened in this country and realized there was two factions fighting that in completely different ways. They didn't agree on
there's
the surface,
several.
But they did agree behind the scenes, and that's kind of what I'm going through.
Yeah. Like the same way, I guess the same way, like Stephon Molyneux when Martin Luther King needs Black Panthers. Same way, I guess Stephon Molyneux needs Christopher Cantwell or Larkin Rose or one of those. And yeah, there are different more than just two factions fighting or within the liberty movements.
Yeah, but how do you unify? Is there a way? I mean, I guess, you know, I'm trying to figure out is there a way to unify factions. I mean, I see the factions that you're talking about. But how do you unify? You can't unify the Ben Mahalskis of the world with the working in the ranks
or the Bill Greens or the one point I tried to bring up at the which I touched on my first episode, and I tried to bring up in the my interview of Derek Grayson, and he started getting a little bit pissed off because apparently him and Christopher Cantwell had a little bit of a history together, but you know, when he mentioned his name.
I listened to both your episodes, and I'm gonna tell you what, the Roy Baker episode was awesome. I didn't like the I would invite your listeners to go back and listen to the Roy Baker episode. And there's some interesting, technical difficulties because I know it was your first show. But Roy Baker, man, I met Roy Baker. He's legit and on the record. And, I'm maybe not that guy that agrees wholeheartedly with that. I believe there's a position for government, but I still want to unify.
Let me go bring this real quick. I was trying to reference an article last week on how infighting is a good thing, Ms. Benz.
Yeah.
Which
I heard that. That was great.
Yeah. And I thought it was applicable when we have two candidates like that are being supported by, you know, the liberty movement. That would be better for us right now, be more productive instead of that we do fight, that we get better publicizing rather than just sit around saying, I wish we could just get along. It's like, you're hurting. If you don't support him, you're hurt. You're just going to get this other status in. I mean, so I think from when you have these different, for in situations like that, where we have better instead of unifying, I guess we can still recognize it. I think we should just try to. We should argue about it. We should debate it, and we should make sure it's better publicized.
Listen, Eric, I'm on board. You know, you're the man. Stepped up at the state convention, and I saw you. You're part of a movement that I see here in Georgia, and all I see, like I said, I see the Black Panthers and Martin Luther King. You know, that tends to divide some people, but it doesn't divide me. I understand it and see through it. And I'm probably gonna jump off and let y'all finish.
Right. Well, you see my point is the best thing like we could probably do. I guess in that situation is, I don't know, you could get maybe Bill, we could get Ben Mahalski's, get Bill Mahalski, or we could maybe get Bill Green. We could have a public debate, give us some form, and we could just have as many, produce contents for
It's down dirty and ugly, but the thing of it is if people will listen through the down dirty and ugly, and rather than solidify to a position, begin to understand everybody's position, and we're all moving in the same direction for the most part, and look at what unifies us and not what divides us. I'm not talking about the lesser of two evils in that situation because we've addressed that, I think. So, but yeah, I'm with you on board. You know, I'm not an anarchist per se or a volunteerist per se, but I understand the rhetoric. I understand it's moving in a direction that I would rather we move. And, again, I'm going to dip off. But, listen, I appreciate everything.
Well, you sound like you're almost there, sir. Thank you for calling in, buddy. You're almost there, my friend.
I appreciate you. Hey, look at ZenInTheCar.com, ZenInTheCar TV. We'll be at the Senate debate. I'll invite everybody. I'm going to be at the Senate debate in Savannah, Georgia this weekend. There's a Constitutional Security Force this weekend, and come out to Operation American Spring. Look it up, and I'm out. I appreciate you, Eric.
All right, thanks, man. All right.
Peace, Patrick.
Can I say one quick thing, real quick?
What's up, Larry?
You call yourself a volunteerist, and I'm not against that. But if you read what the Founding Fathers wrote in their own private writings, that do back up why they wrote the Constitution, which is a guideline for the government, rules for them to abide by. We all have a duty to take part in the government of this country, just as we all have a duty. When you see the right to bear arms, you know, in the form of militia, the militia wasn't a National Guard per se. Militia was a group or body comprised of the citizenry, and to be regulated meant well trained. If they could not afford a rifle, one would be provided for them, but they were all expected to take part. It was their duty as an American. Okay, so my hat's off to you to be a volunteer, but the point I'm getting to is there aren't enough people that accept their duty as an American to be a volunteer.
Along those lines, you know, you have to acknowledge the fact that this Constitution was originally based on an idea of self-responsibility, and everyone back then had a sense of that. We have come to a point in our lives where self-responsibility is condemned, and anybody who tries to take any self-responsibility is shunned. I mean, look at people who try to raise their own crops. They're told they can't do that. That's illegal. You have to rely on government processed foods and GMOs. Look at these people who try to have babies without getting them vaccinated. They're told you can't do that. You can't put your child in school without having vaccinations. You know, it's come down to
you can't give your neighbor raw milk or you get put in jail.
Right.
I mean, how ridiculous is that? You know, but see, now that's not a constitutional government. That is this new world order that is
neglecting our self-responsibility. You know, you have to realize that government has put it in people's heads that anybody trying to raise a militia is absolutely crazy. Look at these TV shows that exist. People don't watch them. The majority of people don't watch them because they believe in what these people are doing. They're looking at them saying, look at these buttheads who are so foolish doing this thing. You know, you have a whole nation.
You need to come to Texas. You'd find there's a lot of people that are starting to think.
All right, so I only have about seven more minutes.
7 minutes.
7 more minutes before the show. I'm going to go. I would like to give the last sense, Mr. Crumpton, the producer of it, who is the founder of ZenInTheCar.com. I'd like to give him a chance to really give him this last word, so to speak, of what his plans are for moving Zen the car forward, and also his vision. So go ahead, Daniel.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that, and I think most people know that what I'm really committed to is I'm of the understanding there's a revolution going on in this country and in this world, and I'm a peaceful person. I do not believe that it has to get hot or violent. I think that we can do this peacefully. I think what my goals are is, you know, the sequence of events that brought all of us together, you know, Patrick and Curtis and Sabrina and everything, it's too profound to really ignore, you know, how we all came together. But it's very evident that we came together for a reason, you know, and I believe that when these types of evolutions are ready to happen, that the Founding Father said it best. There's a divine prophet. You know, it's amazing to me that we as a team are so very, very eclectic. I mean, what we're trying to do is bring different schools of thought and different schools of spirituality and politics together for one common cause, which is freedom and liberty. You know, in a free society, if you look at the First Amendment, in a free society, you're allowed to express worship in any way you see to fit. But we have football issues, you know, in the news, like someone wants to put a nativity set, you know, in front of the courthouse. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we play football games with one another.
Right. Yeah, it looks like, I think, 678-431. Is that Curtis? We got that number. I'm not going to give the last four digits because that would
be
very inappropriate. I think that probably is. Not much time, but I'll let him get a word in at least. Hello, 678-431. I'll give the rest of the number. Who am I speaking to?
Mark, actually, I was calling in for Cindy Lake.
Oh, Cindy Lake. Well, she should be in here another 4 minutes, sir.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right.
But no, Eric, I think what we're trying to do, if we were all going to project, I think what we're trying to say is the table of liberty has room for everyone. You know,
right.
We want to show everyone that what we're doing is what they can do. They can do it. You know, we are all journalists. We're all, you know, Big Brother is watching us, but we can watch back. And what, you know, what we're trying to do with ZenInTheCar.com is to show other people that what we're doing is simpatico with what they can do, and we want them to do it. Because, you know, unfortunately, that's the society that we live in, a surveillance society. So we might as well utilize the tools that we do have, you know, smartphones, things such as that, to document what they're doing.
Okay. That does sound well, you're doing a very good job. And hopefully should be able to see you guys in person shortly. Looks like there's a lot of things you Jason was mentioned the American Spring. Also there's also gonna be a Bring the Troops Home rally in May. That is gonna be started by Doug Craig, who is the state chair of the Libertarian Party in Georgia. So
well,
it's going to be in front of the CNN building.
I'll tell you what, Mr. Bell, we're going to be on point with that, but I do want to go ahead and say this to all your listeners. If you could, pick up a copy of Then Came the Flood. You can get that at Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, BooksAndMedia.com. It is a novel that I wrote. You have to kind of glean and gold pan for some politics in there. It is in there. But I would appreciate if all your listeners would pick up a copy.
Yes, yes. First, wanted to get into that. Anyway, but yes, I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed this chat. Thank you all for joining me. And nice meeting you, Sabrina. Larry?
Nice meeting you.
Hope he's here. And yeah, I might probably see you sometime in the future. Maybe I might see you, Larry. We never know.
Appreciate what you do, Eric. Good job, man. Good looking out.
All right, thank you. All right. We're gonna go. I'm gonna go ahead and sign off. And Cindy, the Freedom Talk is the next with Cindy Lake. All right, bye.
I'm Angie Morelli, and I'm with GMO Free Vegas. So what are we going to do about this now? Well, to begin with, we advocate the labeling of genetically engineered food, or foods with GMOs. Regardless of how you feel about the GMO issue, we can agree that we should at least have a choice of being informed about what we put into our bodies. We won't have a choice until these foods are properly labeled. We must remember who we are fighting in this battle. We are fighting corporations selling us poison, backed by corporations making us poison. And these corporations will only respond to one kind of vote, the vote that we make with our dollars. Recently, Yoplait faced so much criticism over high fructose corn syrup that they removed it from all of their yogurts. Right before and after the march against Monsanto in May, we saw major corporations like Whole Foods, Target, and Chipotle make major announcements about deciding to label and or phase out GMOs. This is happening because of us, because we will solve this as making demands as consumers first. Starting right now, we're going to boycott corn. This is all you have to do, is don't buy corn. Corn on the cob, corn in a can, corn in a mix at a restaurant, any visible corn is corn. All we are asking for people to do right now is to boycott corn. This is going to be a clear, completely simple message that will definitely get back to its makers. We won't stand for poison. We won't stand for cronyism. And that is why we march against Monsanto.
Okay. Hello, everybody. This is Cindy Lake, and you're joining into Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake live on freedomizerradio.com. Today is Tuesday, March 25th, 2014, and thank you for joining me. Our show tonight is going to be about local politics, for the most part, local Clark County politics, and I just had a really odd message on my Facebook. I am running for Clark County Commission G. That is about 170 precincts, and the seat has been held by a Democrat for at least 10 years. There are no Republicans on the Clark County Commission. Those of you who know me know that I've been a Republican for most of my voting life, except for about 30 days in the last maybe 6 months in order to help some libertarian friends get elected to their state executive committee position. So I re-registered Republican back in November, and on Friday, March 14th, I decided to head down to the Clark County Commission building and file to run for County Commission G. I've lived in this district now for 20 out of 25 years. When I filed, I said 17, but I realize it's more like 20, maybe even 25. With redistricting, I think I may have even lived in G, and it is no longer G where I lived for a short time, 5 or 6 years since being here. But in any event, I have a vested interest in this district, and for the past year, I've been attending county commission meetings and watching as my representative in my district flagrantly spent my money and raised their taxes. And so I felt it was time to step up to the plate. I have experience now, quite a bit of experience in local politics and watching what the commission does and how they do it, and I am ready to get in there and make some drastic changes as to representing the people in District G, whether you be a Republican or a Democrat. You don't deserve to have your taxes raised every other week. We deserve better than that. Small business owners deserve better. Now, water rates were raised during the worst recession since the Great Depression. And I wanted to address also the fact that the commissioners are paid a salary of about $73,000 a year plus benefits, and this is apparently considered a part-time job. So that was one of the posts that was on my Facebook. One of my Facebook friends had issue with me, Queen of Liberty, running for an office that pays that high of salary. And I have to agree with that person. I don't think the job is necessarily worth that. And that's one of the things on my agenda to look at. I believe when you run for an office, you should serve. And so my intentions and goals are to be the taxpayer's best friend here in Clark County, Nevada. My hero and mentor, Ron Paul, did the same thing. He donated back a portion of his budget each year to the state or his county. I'm not quite sure, but he was a fiscal conservative, and that is what I am and intend to be. And so I am looking at how to best be able to accept less and possibly donate back to Clark County. And love you too. And anyway, that is my plan. I want to be the taxpayer's best friend, small business and private business best friend. My Democrat opponent in the general has about $300,000 already in the bank, and that is from major large businesses donating. And that is not my goal, and nor will I ever accept donations for any favors in return. So I'm going to need your help, my listeners and friends, in getting elected and getting our plan to take back our local government and make real changes, real necessary changes. And I don't even like using that word change. I would like to repeal bad laws, repeal unconstitutional laws, reduce the tax burden, reduce the size and scope of local government. I think government is way overgrown, as I'm sure most people would agree, and government is supposed to be limited in its scope. And so my views are not going to change. My views, I'm going to take my views and beliefs to the commission and always be a no vote for any higher taxes, any taxes being raised, and try to lower taxes. One of the things I would like to do is also to repeal the blue card law. Any of you here in Clark County gun owners know that in Clark County there's an ordinance, a statute passed in 1989 requiring any county in the state with over 700,000 residents to register their guns. This is not a background check. This is an additional registration of certain types of arms, and I don't approve of it or agree with it in that, A, it's a costly program, and nobody even knows how much it costs, honestly. We're trying to get that exact number. I've heard anywhere from $700,000 to $800,000 to $2 million. I think if we could eliminate the blue card, then Metro would have an additional maybe $2 million a year to hire more officers, which I'm not necessarily against per se. I'm against having our taxes raised when there hasn't been a fiscal audit done to know where our money is going in the first place. So I have my job cut out for me. I need to win the primary. And I have a great plan for that. There are 170 precincts in Commission District G, and I'm going to need all my friends, family, and associates' help in winning the primary on June 10th. So I have a great plan for that. The website is under construction right now. I went to develop my website and notice that cindylake.com is available. I've been attempting to purchase that website name for at least 10 years. It's never been available, and it's finally available at a cost of $700. And so I have a good friend in the business who is acting as my broker and trying to get cindylake.com, but in the meantime, cindylake.net is under construction. We're working out the very fine details of that. I have my donate opportunities in place. I have all that going forward. So if you'd like to donate to me through PayPal, you can go to Friends for Cindy Lake and use my Gmail, cindylake1105@gmail.com for now. I'm waiting for my Square reader. We have some meet and greets planned and donors lining up and asking how to donate. So we have the donate through PayPal in place, or you can send me a check, Friends for Cindy Lake, and let me know. I can always pick that up. I do need money, and I don't like asking for it, but that's what makes the world go round. I'm going to have to get some signs and mailers mainly. The rest of the stuff is minimal compared to getting some signs out there and getting some direct mail pieces. I'm going to I am blessed in that I have a lot of friends who are willing to make phone calls and walk doors. And so mainly I'd like to use some of my donations to get some signs out there and get some mail pieces targeting those who are going to vote in the primary on June 10th, and that will be registered Republicans. So, A, if you're not a registered Republican, you can switch over for just a couple of weeks and get me through that primary, and then you're welcome to do what you'd like and go back to whatever you are registered. You only have to be registered Republican for the primary. So that's me. That's the race. And my opponent, Mary Beth Scow, is a Democrat. She has been a trustee on the Clark County School District three terms before being elected in 2010 to the commission. And I don't have any personal problem with her. She is a representative of my district. And as I said, having been a Clark County School District trustee for three terms, and the fact is we have the worst school district in the country, and now having been an elected commissioner since 2010, and we have the number three worst water in the country, and she sits as the chairman of the Las Vegas Valley Water District, I do believe I can do better. And as I said, having attended county commission meetings for the past year, I've watched yes, yes, yes to all tax increases, and so my motivation is to be a no vote. And Chairman Sisolak, although his party affiliation is Democrat, he is the most fiscally conservative member of the board, and so I'd like to join him there. And we have some good candidates running as well. Jason Smith is running in District F, and Randy Rose is running in E. So we have some good liberty-minded, tax-lowering freedom fighters running for these seats. And up against the establishment, we'll have our work cut out for us, but it's not going to be impossible. We just need some help from our friends. And whether you can do a meet and greet, whether you can donate, whether you can walk, whether you can call, whether you can put a sign up, whether you can tell your friends, $10 or $20 is going to help, because I am extremely fiscally conservative. And so all your donations will go a long way. I can say that right now. I'm not one to take lightly other people's money. And so that kind of bothered me a little bit, because somebody called me out on my beliefs and my work for the past 7-8 years running for a position that pays quite a bit of money. I wasn't the one who set the salary. I don't agree with the salary, and I'm looking at ways to donate back a portion of that salary to the county. So I just want everybody to know that I'm in full agreement with taking taxpayers' money and using it flagrantly and paying these exorbitant salaries. When you run for public office, it should be that you want to serve and that you feel an obligation to do a better job and not get rich doing it. So if anybody wants to know about anything I stand for, the website will be done soon. I'm doing this show tonight on this subject, and I've asked a few other people to call in who are running for office. So I hope they will, and I hope you'll call and ask me questions. If you have any questions, 347-324-3704 is the phone number. 347-324-3704 is the phone number to call in. And if you'd like to talk to me, press 1. And if you'd like to just listen in, go ahead. I do have a caller. Let's see who's calling in. Hi, this is Cindy. You're online. Hello.
Hello. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Mark.
Mark Anderson?
Yep.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
All right. Are you talking about anything in particular?
Pardon?
Are you talking about anything in particular right now?
Well, I'm just talking about my race.
Oh, open line. Yeah, you got the race. Yeah, I just wanted to wish you good luck, and, you know, just feels so good to, you know, be back in, you know, the, you know, back in the game of, you know, advocating liberty. And, you know, let me say I walked around with this incredible anxiety and nervousness. And I think I can distill it like this, that we're really in a race against saving humanity. And I don't think many people understand this, you know. And it is very nerve-wracking to even think about this. But, you know, I'm not one that advocates, you know, bloody revolutions or anything like that. But I realize that, you know, we're at a point where, you know, we're going to have to look at talking about, you know, advocating the arrest of politicians, you know, demanding that the, you know, government arrest certain politicians. And the reason why I say it is I believe that's the only way that everything is going to end peacefully. And the reason I say that is because if you look at how everything is unfolding, and people will need to understand that we have a war criminal government. Okay. It's a totally illegitimate government. Now, you have good elements in the government, you know, like the outer part of government that, you know, you deal with on the day-to-day, you know, like the person who works at the Social Security office or whatever. But then, of course, there's the government within the government. And it's a criminal government. It's a totally illegitimate government. Okay? And they're going to kill us all. It's not going to be everybody all at once. And it's going to be in a plurality of different ways. But, I mean, just as one example, the loan market can't extend credit at negative real rates and not become insolvent. They're bankrupting us. Well, it's pretty difficult to live if you can't put food on the table. So we're going to be bankrupted, okay? And, you know, they're going to benefit and enrich themselves with their wars, which are totally illegal, and they do carry out stage terror. And 9/11... there's, you know, empirical evidence that we were lied to about that. And, you know, I think it's to the point where, you know, I think we just need to hammer these guys. You know, people say, oh, don't talk about 9/11 or don't talk about certain issues. No. They understand they're afraid of 9/11, not because it's crazy, but because they did it. Okay. And do you not hammer a criminal with the truth of his crimes? That's where we're at. You know, all we got to do is expose these criminals. And we need to stand up in uncompromising fashion and, you know, study and research and learn and understand exactly how Dick Cheney did 9/11 and call these people out for the war criminals that they are, because that's what they are. And if we don't do this...
Yeah, so many people are afraid of that subject, Mark. Really, they are. They're so afraid of that subject.
I'm not. You know, and it took me a long time to get back to this point because, you know, I was basically scared away of basically believing anything by the government several years ago. But I realized, as I got myself back, that this is so dark, what is going on. Either I choose to stand with the American people, I stand with a bunch of traitors, because that's what they are, okay? And my first choice is, you know, obviously advocating that, you know, these people would be arrested, and that's what we really need to talk about. I think we're at that point where we need to talk about. In fact, you know, maybe not Joe Heck himself, but I'll say that he certainly supports a lot of criminal policies, you know, foreign wars. You know, he's voted to fund the Afghanistan war and voted against an exit strategy. So he's voted for a continuum of that. He says, you know, Edward Snowden should, you know, come back and be put in jail. Yet Edward Snowden committed zero crimes, because it can't be a crime to expose crimes. You know, I mean, this is the very definition of, you know, tyranny. I mean, either he's just afraid. If he's afraid, then what good is he? I think we really need to start talking about, you know, how these people are, you know, violating their oaths of office, you know, and you know, do so with courage and not be afraid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share that, because that's one thing that's been weighing very heavily on me lately. And I've been nervous, but because I can feel it in my spirit that if we don't do this, the government is going to kill us all. Okay?
So, Mark, what do you plan on doing? What are you doing personally to get this message out? And
well, I've written a series of, you know, I've written a series of good online posts, you know, pointing out, I mean, like I said, there's empirical evidence we were lied to about 9/11. You know, I was in the Marine Corps, of course, in the 1990s. And I had received the anthrax shots, three of them, just before my ineffective service date. And I ended up with, you know, a plurality of different health problems. One example, subdermal lesions in different parts of my body. At the very beginning, real bad eczema. That's moderated a bit, but also a thyroid disorder. And you know, I did a lot of work and activism on that issue, and because of that, I followed the anthrax attack issue very closely, okay? And the anthrax attack, of course, happened like a week after 9/11. And the government issued a report on that back in 2010. If you read it, it's clearly bogus, because they get the motive completely wrong. If you look at the targets that received the anthrax. And by the way, their suspect who supposedly committed suicide, yet left no suicide note, and I was told by Abel Danger, or Tony Schaffer, who was Defense Intelligence, back in 2010, that Bruce Ivins committed suicide, or excuse me, was murdered. And if you look at the relationships and everything, well, I'll get into that in a second, but first if you look at the targets of the anthrax, one of them was a media outlet down in Florida. And the owner of the media outlet was the husband of a lady who just so happened to be the landlady for two of the alleged hijackers. And supposedly that was a coincidence. Now, I don't believe
that. Hey, Mark.
Yep.
I hate to interrupt you, but I'd like to do a show on this for the whole hour that I have. And I did ask a couple of local candidates to call in so that I can give them some airtime tonight and talk about their races, and I do have somebody waiting on the line, so I'm not trying to cut you off.
That's fine, and it is a bit of a lengthy story to understand this, and then how this, you know, is related to and where the nexus is to Dick Cheney and 9/11 itself. But you know, if you start to piece things together and put all the information together, you can see that it looks like Dick Cheney was responsible for, you know, selecting those targets for the anthrax attack, and was intimately involved in that, at least some people in the CIA. And
okay, well, like I said, I'd like to maybe do another show on this, you know, for a whole hour. And again,
right.
I don't want to keep people waiting who I actually asked to call in. I do appreciate your call and good wishes. And I hope you'll stay on the line. I'm just going to see who this is, and
right.
We'll schedule a show on this subject in the next couple of weeks, okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Mark. Hang on. Okay. Looks like somebody's there, but it's not connecting. So, all right, there you are, 915 area code.
Hello, Cindy.
You're on with Cindy.
I've talked to you before.
Hi. Who's this, please?
This is Larry. I've talked to you.
Hi, Larry.
A couple of times, anyway. Once on Bruce's show, and then once on your own show, and now here again. He has some good points, but, you know, I'm not going to get into all the 9/11 stuff. the shadow government per se, but I, on the previous show that was before you, I tried to get the guys on there to understand that we need to take back our government at a local level, not focus so much on the federal level, because at the local level we can nullify what the feds do. And the elections, 9 times out of 10, are rigged when it comes to federal level anyway. Now, the problem is with, you know, you're going for a position that, you know, takes money and all this other garbage. I was just trying to tell them to go for something easy at first, like city council. And wrench in the cogs, so to speak, to the city council, because that's where the bozos are that are putting fluoride in the water and making stupid ordinances like you can't have tomato plants in your front yard, all these other things. You have to get rid of those Agenda 21 people.
Well, there's a lot of Agenda 21 issues that have come up at the county level as well, which I plan to vote no to each and every time. HOA issues, Agenda 21 issues.
Just taxing property is wrong.
Taxing property is wrong. I'm a proponent of property rights. I want to reduce.
But you know what? I don't know. I talked to you about incorporating counties and towns?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, all right. First of all, you know that Washington, D.C. is a corporation.
Yes.
Ever since 1871. And every state is rated and part of that corporation, which is why we have administrative law. Well, every county has also been incorporated, and most towns have been incorporated. Once in a while you find one that's not, but you always see the sign that says corporate limit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're in a charter of a corporation when you incorporate. You can deincorporate, stop being part of that administrative law corporation. Okay? You with me so far?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have to have the power of the city council and the county to go along with this. Now, the state's going to raise hell. But there's not really a whole lot they can do when the ball starts rolling if you have enough votes. And you explain to the people of the communities how they stand to gain from it. Okay? For one,
mm-hmm.
they don't lose their police protection. They may not have 50 cops for every block of a certain neighborhood, which really they don't anyway. But you explain to them, you won't have a bunch of stormtrooper jackbooted thugs having 3 cop cars pull you over for a stupid speeding ticket and intimidating you on purpose. The cops that will be retained on payroll will be paid by sales tax, not property tax. As service taxes, for what services, they have to pay for it, unless they're indigent, okay? There's no
mm-hmm.
free lunch. What they have to gain from it in the long term is much more valuable than what they get in the short run by being incorporated. Now, some people have a difficult time understanding that, and you'd probably have to put it in baby terms. I'm not the person for that. I suck when it comes to making things simplistic. So, but on the intellectual scale of things, we all, as far as we the people, stand to gain by de-incorporating, doing away with being part of the corporation. Okay? The big machine.
Makes sense.
Now, they won't like you. They'll say bad things about you. But let them.
Well, I'm used
eventually,
to that.
Yeah, well, me too. Mm-hmm. And your phone will be bugged, which it already is anyway, so, you know, oh well. But over time, people will see the benefits of you being deincorporated, and it will spread like a good disease. Okay? I know that kind of
mm-hmm.
sounds like an oxymoron, but it could happen. A good disease. But your people will have more money in their pocket. And they, you have to point out to them how much property tax you pay a year versus how many times a year do you use an ambulance service. Why should you pay for something you don't use until you're ready to use it? Okay? Things along that
line.
And then,
right.
And then call for taking bids on an ambulance service that's reasonable and not a price that's jacked up through the roof. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're here to make a profit, but you're not here to rape, rob, steal every last penny out of people's pockets, which is what the modern-day ambulance services do because the city says they can get away with it. Okay?
I understand, the fire department has come before the commission, and I need to look into this further, but from what I understand, our fire department wants to eliminate competition with private ambulance service. So another thing
that's
that I'm completely against is government competing with private business. They're trying to edge them out. And so,
and also take the fire marshal and dethrone him. Fire marshal, when I was a kid, fire marshal didn't carry guns. They investigated fires. If they need somebody with a gun, call a cop. Why the heck is a fire marshal walking around with a gun? They're part of the Department of Homeland Security now. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a break, Larry, if you'll hang on and stay
do
with
your
us.
Thing.
I have
I may lose signal,
well.
But I'll call back. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'm driving down the road.
On hold and take a few minute break.
I'll be here.
Everybody, hope you'll stay and listen, and I will be right back in about 3 minutes. Thanks for being with Cindy Lake on Freedom Talk.
Did you know that childhood diseases declined over 90% before vaccines were introduced? Or that the federal government pays out about $100 million a year for vaccine injury and death? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Did you know that there are literally hundreds of vaccines on the market or in development? Or that state legislatures around the country have been passing unconstitutional laws limiting your right to refuse vaccines? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout.
C is for cookie for me. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I love you, Miss Cookie. Join Cookie and
good
me
job.
On See the Power in You.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs, or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, 4 Mountain, and 3 Pacific Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Hi, everybody. I'm back. Thanks for staying with me. This is Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake. It's Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. Tonight's show is about my race for County Commission G and other things, and thank you for listening. I do appreciate this. We have another caller waiting patiently, so I'm going to go ahead and take that. This is a 678 prefix. You're on Live with Cindy Lake. Who am I speaking with?
Hi. Hey, Cindy. This is Diana.
Hey, Diana, how are you?
Hey, doing pretty good. I have to say I am very, very excited about your run. It's refreshing to know that we've got someone who has our interests at heart running for office, not someone that's interested in lining their own pocket.
Right, or my own.
Right.
Those of you who know me, thank you so much, Diana. And those of you who know me and have known me a while know that is totally not my motivation whatsoever. I'm completely in disagreement with the exorbitant salary and benefits, and that's going to be one of the issues I address there at the commission. And right, nobody, I'm not going to have many friends, but that's not, I want to be the taxpayer's best friend, and I want to be the citizens of Clark County's best friend, but I don't necessarily mind not being the powers that be best friend. That's not my main motivation. My motivation is to get down to business here and stop the insanity and stop wasteful spending of our tax dollars, stop our private property from being taken, stop encroaching on small businesses with licenses and fees that are de facto taxes, stop making us register our rights to keep and bear arms. I mean, our most basic rights are being stomped on each and every other week at that commission, and I'm tired of it. I want to be a vote. I've been in the audience for over a year now and watched what's going on, and I want to be a vote for us. I want to be a vote for the representation that I want in my district, but I want to be a vote for everybody. I want to be a no vote. No, no more taxes. None. No more taxes. So,
you know, once
I am, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hey, no problem. One of the things that I think is really frustrating, we've been so conditioned to consent to give up our basic rights, and it goes on and on. You know, I've worked for years in commercial aviation, and we see people consenting to give up their rights, their Fourth Amendment rights, every time they go through airport security. I had an incident today at Hoover Dam where they wanted to search my truck. I said, no, you're not going to search it. They're letting all these other vehicles go through, and I'm minding my own business, driving through to take my aunt. She goes to see the dam. She's got Alzheimer's, and I was singled out for search. That's very disturbing to me.
Yes, you texted me right away. Thank you for doing that, and I was disturbed as well. I was driving when you did it. I was so worried about you and Aunt Terry. Being all alone there in that situation, you know how to handle it. You're a strong woman, but still, like you said, where were you driving? In Germany? Where are we? Are people not realizing what's going on here? Well, they need to.
They don't.
That's what this is about.
And they don't care. They don't care, and that's such a shame until, you know, for them it's going to be too late. You know, those of us that have been putting out the warning about it for years, We see it. Our eyes have been open, and so many people are just so oblivious to it until it's going to happen to them and it'll be too late. And then they just wonder why, and it's just very frustrating.
I think the why is because we've let it, we've allowed it. We have people, our overlords, who have been elected to these positions, and not enough of us have been paying attention or really working towards these goals of stopping it for long enough. I mean, I personally wasn't paying attention for long enough. I've only started paying attention for the past 6 or 7 years. That's not a long time. This has been going on for a long time, at least 100 years since 1913 at the very least. I mean, plans were in place before that, but if more people don't wake up and start not only paying attention, but taking an active role in some way, shape, or form, even by telling them, no, you're not going to search me, you're not going to pat me down, you're not going to look at my emails, you're not going to tap my phone. I mean, we have to put an end to this. Red light
cameras everywhere. Cameras on us. Our phones are tapped. Our emails are tapped. Every single keystroke we make is being recorded. And people are sitting here like they're high on something, which they probably are, because we're the most medicated country in the world. So everybody's medicated. Everybody's pretty happy. They still have food on their table. Like one of my friends says, beer, pizza, and football. And that's all they care about.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
People like you,
yeah, that,
and your husband who take an active stance and say, no, no, I'm not going to take it anymore, and get that message out there and say, this is wrong, other people will wake up and realize,
yeah.
And we have to be brave about it. And I don't know, I just felt like this is a good podium for us and our message locally after watching what's been happening just for the past year. I mean, I'm ashamed to say I've lived in District G for 20 years and only recently have started attending meetings. That is embarrassing. That's embarrassing. And,
well, you know,
I think we've been remiss, all of us. And
mm-hmm.
I'm so happy to see other people going up there and getting up to the microphone and really strongly fighting against higher taxes and all the things and our property being taken away. But we need so many more to do this. And like I said, I could do it all for the rest of my life, but I'm not going to have a vote.
Well,
so,
you know, Cindy,
I have to apologize for running for an office that has a high salary, because I don't agree with that and I don't approve of taking tax dollars to do this job. But it's already in place. I didn't vote for that. I would not have voted for that. So I'm going to vote against it, and I'd be willing
Wonderful.
To do it for free if that's what it would take to show my voters and my electorate that that's how strongly I believe in serving and being the vote that we need and that we need to see on that board. And if everybody did something like this, maybe we can make a difference. I don't know. I'm up against a woman who has $300,000 in her stash now, signs everywhere. But it is winnable. I'm not going to be discouraged. It is winnable, boots on the ground, and the way that we know how to work with the grassroots. I think it is winnable, the disparity. And it is a partisan race, which I don't like. I don't like that at all, because as everybody knows, I'm not a party loyalist,
mm-hmm.
and nor am I an advocate
yep.
for elections necessarily. I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, they're not fair. So nothing's changed with me. It's just that this is in place, and this process and procedure and the way it's structured is in place already, so I have to get there first to make the changes that we need to see.
Well, Cindy, just like the previous caller said, and you stated as well, it all really does begin on the local level. All politics is local, and it's great to voice our opinion about what's going on nationally and internationally, but we can do far more at the very basic local level, even if it's running for the board in your HOA, running for small positions like that. Being involved in the community and educating the people that we know just about the basic concepts of liberty. So many people believe that, oh, those wacko liberty folks, fringe people, conspiracy theorists. You know, when you can break it down to someone on a very basic level, it's going to take, just like you had your aha moment and I had my aha moment, it's not the same for every person, but you could be that one person who actually is that spark of, oh, my gosh, you're right, to someone. And they will have this whole epiphany about how they had been thinking versus the reality of what's really going on. And I wish more and more of us wake up to that. And I think we are, and as more liberty activists get involved and just ministering, so to speak, just to their own local community, their churches, their friends and family even, I think we're seeing more of an awakening of this.
We are seeing more of an awakening, and we need, you know, more and more and more of an awakening. And so I'm trying to use this platform here on the radio and then, you know, hopefully this other platform to get this message out. But more and more people need to know what's really going on. And my tagline is parties divide and issues unite. And I think most people in general have similar desires and similar wants for their families and freedoms. And, you know, we're supposed to live in a free country, and we're not. And that's a big, huge detriment. People can't even grasp that. And if they do grasp it, they don't want to. Denial kills. And it's so all-encompassing. People just want to live in their little denial and happiness and TV, and whether they have a job or don't have a job, they still, we still have, you know, comforts. We have comforts. And once those comforts are gone, maybe then. I don't want to see that happen. I want to head that off at the pass. I want to see more and more people attending meetings. I want to see more people doing what you say, joining their HOAs. I want to see more and more people waking up and listening to their friends and family like you, telling them what just happened to you at Hoover Dam today with your being detained. Being detained. You're not a criminal. You did nothing wrong.
Yes, I was shocked when they said I was being detained, and I was in shock.
And probably nervous and shaky. And how was your Aunt Terry with the event? How did she handle it?
She was very confused. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, people with Alzheimer's, you know, they like their routine. And we were out for a ride. She was in a great mood, enjoying the day. And I decided, well, let's just take a drive down there. And when all this happened, she started to get a little agitated. And, you know, with the way law enforcement is these days, I'm surprised they didn't gun us down.
That's the scariest thing.
and, you know, people think, oh, well, that's kind of overreacting in your response. I go, well, no, not really. Take a look at the news everywhere mm-hmm. around us. But does, you know, we have home invasions where seniors are gunned down because, oops, wrong house. We're serving a no-knock warrant. It's gotten out of control. I really hope you win this election, Cindy. I will do whatever I can in my power to help you win. We need that voice of reason on the council, and I really look forward to the victory party.
Thank you so much, Diane. I appreciate that. Now I will let you know you're in my district, so I'll let you know what precinct and anything you can do is appreciated, and I will never let you down. And I know you know that.
I know that.
So I'm confident. Thank you so much, and say hi to Aunt Terry and David, and I'll see you soon. I'll let you know when the kickoff is, okay?
Awesome. Sounds great.
Thanks for calling in.
Well,
I'm so gratified about people like Diana who are awake and know what this is going to take, and all my listeners tonight and callers, I appreciate it, and those online texting on the chat on freedomizerradio.com. I do greatly appreciate all of you. It's going to take an army, you guys, not just me. I need help, and you need help, and you need my vote on that commission, and I need you to help me get there. So I'm not necessarily asking for money. I know that's in short supply, unfortunately, with us, we the little people. It's not with the powers that be. As I said, my opponent in the general has about $300,000 already. There's signs everywhere. But we can beat that. We can beat that with boots on the ground and just basic grassroots politicking, precinct work. I have a plan. I have everything we need. And it's not going to be much for you to do, but if you do a little something to help, we can win this. I'm confident we can win this. And again, I apologize for the exorbitant salary and benefits that those commissioners are being paid. I will not accept that, and I will do something about it because that's our money, and I want to be that vote for you. I want to be that vote for my family. I want to be that vote for Clark County, and specifically Commission G at this point. So everything you need to know about Commission G, you can go to the nvsos.gov page for now. CindyLake.net is under construction and will be done very soon. I have a really great friend who has a really forward-thinking business. I'm really excited about this. So you're going to be able to text to a certain number and get my campaign message. So this is very exciting to me. And my good friend is working on my website and all this other good stuff. If you'd like to donate, I do have PayPal in place already. So it's Friends for Cindy Lake, cindylake1105@gmail.com if you'd like to donate through PayPal. Otherwise, you can wait for the website to be up, or you can write me a check and I can come pick it up. If you'd like to start making phone calls, I have specific lists of targeted voters who will be voting in the primary, and those people need to be called. We're probably going to have about 10,000 people voting in the primary, and I'm going to need all those votes. So we're going to have to touch a lot of people. I'm going to have to walk some doors, call and mail, and get some signs out. So whatever you can do, I do greatly appreciate your help, and I will not let you down. I'm going to be the vote that we need and that you want to see, the taxpayer's best friend, small business people's best friend, Second Amendment rights advocate, and all rights for that matter. I'm going to do what I can to restore some liberty at the local level. That's the vote I'm going to be for you. I'm going to restore liberty. I'm going to try to eliminate the blue card, which at this point I think is between $700,000 and $2 million a year now. Metro came and asked for more money for more cops, and again, I'm not against more cops or any safety for that matter, but I am against wasteful spending, and I am against not showing us where our own money is going. So I'd like to see where our money is going, and I hope you feel the same way, and if you do, let me know. Text me at 702-497-0671, 702-497-0671. Let me know what you can do to help. Again, that's cindylake.net for now, and we're trying to get cindylake.com. Cindylake.net is under construction. If you'd like to donate via PayPal, it's Friends for Cindy Lake, cindylake1105@gmail.com. I do have a Square reader, so when I see you out there, we can easily take a donation. Donations are going to be specifically used for signs and mailers. I'm not going to eat out at restaurants with your donation money, okay? I'm a fiscal conservative, and I respect every single penny and minute of your time that you have to donate to me. So, anyhow, thank you all for listening tonight. I do want to say that we have some good candidates running this time around, and I'll be featuring more candidates in the coming weeks, but I wanted to make this show about the Clark County Commission G race. I have an interview scheduled with Veterans in Politics on Sunday, and on Tuesday, the Firefighters Union has invited candidates to speak there as well. So I'm looking for endorsements. I'm looking for meet and greets, donations, walkers, callers, signs, and anything else that you can help me with is going to be greatly appreciated. If you know anybody with an office, I started making phone calls on that, but if I could get a small office donated in my district, I would greatly appreciate that as well. But if not, I have some space available, and I have the resources, so just let me know what you can do. And again, anything that you can do is going to be appreciated and never forgotten. And I'm not going to be a vote for special interest. I'm going to be a vote for our interest, we the people's interest. I promise you that. And I promise you that I won't let you down. So thanks for joining me tonight. And I will see you next week here on freedomizerradio.com, Freedom Talk with Cindy Lake. I believe Tuesday, April 1st is the next show at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening, everybody. I will see you next week. Negative coming up next. Stay on for Proof Negative Show on freedomizerradio.com. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Well, the end times are approaching just like storm clouds down the line, but it started raining early and you're running out. And the devil's in your basement, he's climbing up the stairs, he's here, there, and everywhere. Well, there's horror in the headlines, and it's getting worse each day. So if you want to hear some good news, get yourself to church and pray. Cause when the devil is your anchor man, he chooses what to share. He's here, there, and everywhere. Maybe
calling right now. Call you after.